We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, these fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
There you go. There you fucking go.
Right. This is American, by the way, so that's like
$100.
No.
This is loud.
What?
Loud.
Too loud?
No, I don't know yet. Probably not.
My dad. Come on, try the fuck down. Take a nap. You'd be wicked. Hey.
Bill Clinton is in the White House. The Denver Broncos.
That might be a little loud.
Ahead of Super Bowl 32. Candle in the wind. Average American household income 38,000.
I think that's perfect. I don't know if we need to check it, do we?
And
he's about the same level as us.
Yeah.
In world wrestling.
So hey yo.
Entertainment world, transitioning from Running Magazine.
Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Running much of what you saw.
Hey yo, and here we go with a very special live audio commentary.
Of
We Talk Wrestling.
Of We Talk Wrestling eating.
Yeah.
We're
watching kayfabe commentary timeline. Vince Russo, 1998.
In WWE,
yeah,
RF. With Mo, Addy, and the man they call Bean.
Say hello, dummy.
Hello, dummy.
I think we could actually turn it down a touch more still.
It's Vince Russo, we're having a little bit.
We don't want him louder than us.
About 1998. Remember it?
Luckily, you caught me at a great time because with my podcast,
maybe one more.
I'm going back and looking at the shows.
That's good.
And I started like right at the end of '97.
He already
so
plugged this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. Excellent. That podcast.
This is called Vince Russo's Lies About 1998, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What happened?
Jeff Jarrett wins the North American title. Wait, what? Jarrett pinned Barry Windham after Jim Cornette hit Windham with a tennis racket due to a pre-match stip.
Whose idea is this to have an NWA angle? The truth? We tell the truth here, right? The truth is...
Be honest
with
me.
At that time, the booking committee consisted of myself, Vince McMahon, and Jim Cornette.
Yeah. That's the truth.
The
so far...
And in those creative booking sessions, myself and Vince McMahon were going one way, which was really the start of the Attitude Era. Jim Cornette was still in his roots, you know, still the old traditional school wrestling.
Yeah.
So to be honest,
that's how he came up with Hell in a Cell.
Couple of things going through my mind at this time, and I'm shooting straight and being totally honest. Number one,
that awful type of ideas like Hell in a Cell.
I really wanted to make Jim happy.
And let's ask. Let's keep a track. Remember, we kept a track of how many times Nash said "fuck."
Yeah, honest.
Yes, how many times he says "honest" or "truth"?
Yeah, we're up to three.
However, I had an ulterior motive that I'm going to be completely honest.
Four.
Four.
So
Nash went over, I think, like 800 F bombs in his 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So he should beat that with truth or honest.
Oh yeah.
B, can you put that up there?
Sure, yeah.
We can do this.
Over there somewhere?
But,
so that the noise doesn't go on the podcast?
And this is not going to work. Because in my mind, if Jim saw the crowd response...
Oh, there's another lie.
Yes.
In his mind.
Wrestling, and he saw it and heard
he
it
saw
with
it.
His own
he
peers,
saw it.
Then maybe he would kind of understand... you know, more or less where I was coming from and where Vince was coming from at the time. So it was designed for a reason, and those were really the two reasons.
Well, what's the resultant discussion with Jim when it doesn't go over?
Well, Jim's, you know, he's just the kind of guy that he would not admit to it not going over. And he would also believe in his heart of hearts, he would honestly believe that in
that's
time
it, that
would have
five?
Over.
Five.
But, you know, again, it's nothing against Jim. It's nothing against that style of wrestling. Let's
it's going to be tough to keep up with this.
Yes.
The wrestling business got to that point based on that type of wrestling. And greats like the Rocky Roll Express, the Midnight Express, Barry Windham, greats like that. But this was a different time. And,
Twine.
You know, it just was not going
Twine.
To work.
Twine.
Is this Sorry. Something that now Vince Twine. McMahon is willing to go along with for the same reasons you are, or is he just kind of saying, oh, look, you two guys work it out? How involved is he in saying, okay, let's do it?
Yeah, you do that.
That's good.
Every time I see Russo on the screen, I also think about going to Yasher.
You know, mm-hmm. and I think he was kind of on the same wavelength I was. We wanted to show Jim the proper respect, but we
yes,
really
he did.
Had to
yeah.
take
he
him.
He really did.
You know,
oh, he was sure. really respectful back then.
Punching, you know,
yes, he is now.
Yes,
you know, the year 2000. So I think Vince was looking at it the same exact way I was, where... Listen,
we should mention we didn't do the downloads this. We actually ordered this legally because we had an attack of conscience.
Yes.
Should just mention that. Mm-hmm. Though we are hoping no money goes to Vince Russo at this point.
At this point.
It's not going to
work. What's the next thing? Steve Austin wins a 30-man Royal Rumble by eliminating Rocky Maivia and earning a shot at WrestleMania 14.
That was January 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Rumble, 1998.
There is
how many people were in attendance? You probably know.
There is absolutely no
93,173?
I can tell you.
I think you're right.
Maybe there's pushes today. Maybe there were pushes prior.
It was in San
During
Jose.
This time,
we've been there.
Was no push. This
is no.
Was
there was no pushes.
Era,
no.
An era in time.
Well, there's no pushes.
Where every single week we were listening to the crowd. And by God, I mean people forget
like they do now.
I was writing
Roman
Reigns shows.
Yes.
Prior to being an on-air character at WCW. So one of the things, you know, that I really used to my advantage that was so valuable to me was to actually go out in the arena and listen to the people. Because they dictated what they wanted.
They dictated what they wanted.
In conjunction with that, you had your numbers. You know, we had ratings. And
it's been about a minute since he said honest.
Ratings.
There's ratings.
Ratings. Oh, that's another count. So that's one ratings.
Ratings. So, when
so we're five honest.
Ratings,
three ratings.
Saw what the rating was doing
Four.
From 901 to 902.
Four ratings.
Or 902 to 902.
You have to write this down.
So
we're actually keeping track now. What will show up more? Ratings or truth or honest? Truth or honesty is the same thing.
Yeah.
Dictate the show. Because those were the only real facts that we have. And when those ratings told us
Five.
We won Austin, we gave them more Austin. When it told us somebody wasn't working out and maybe they would change the channel, we would slowly put the ratings dictated
Six.
The show.
Holy
so
fuck.
Austin
Seven,
was,
actually.
Without a
Seven.
Doubt, the guy back then, based on...
You said it once while you were talking.
What do you think of having three faces of four?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, that was, as a writer, that was just so intense.
That's another line.
And the beauty of that was, I mean, let's face it, how many other people in the history of wrestling would have been able to do that? So it's a situation really.
Well, anybody, if you asked them to, they couldn't have done it as well, but they could have done it.
They could have done it.
With one of, you know, the greatest performers of all time. So, I mean, that was.
What was your favorite persona?
You know, I have to say probably Mick Foley. Because, you know, Mick.
Wait, that was the one persona that wasn't a persona.
Yes.
It was Dude Love, Cactus Jack, and Mankind.
I thought he was going to say.
But, you know, Mick himself was unique. And Mick
so he had four faces.
Was the genius that was able to pull just the puppet strings of all these characters.
Okay, what's this now? January 18th, Royal Rumble. Michael suffers a broken back and is forced to retire. So Shawn Michaels retiring.
Yeah, because of the match against the Taker.
Shawn's kind of an interesting character in his political wranglings in the business. Are there any doubters when this happens that maybe this is because Shawn's scheduled to lose a title at WrestleMania, a way out, and not a real enemy?
You want to know what the truth of this is, in my opinion?
Mark down truth. Yes,
there were many people that believed, you know, Shawn was working it. There was, you know, nuclear. I just thought of nuclear heat. That's my new thing. Somebody said that I had.
Yeah, he does have that as like a on his website. Nuclear heat with Vince Russo.
There was nuclear heat at the time between Shawn and Vince. The reason why I know that is because I was the liaison. Right smack in the middle. Vince was not talking to Shawn. Shawn was not talking to Vince. Shawn would tell me what to tell Vince. I would go tell Vince. Vince would tell me what to go tell Shawn. So I was smack in the middle of it. But I have to say this, and I was there to witness all this. And I didn't appreciate it. And, I mean, I've seen it numerous times since. In my opinion, if you go back to pre-Attitude years, I'm talking about 95, I'm talking about, you know, the Goon and T.L. Hopper and all those guys, okay? If you go back pre-Attitude, there was one guy that was literally carrying the company on his back while the company was desperately holding on, and that was Shawn Michaels. You know, he was the champion. I can remember the programs with Vader. And I can,
he was the champion for 1 year. Remember,
Shawn
not even.
Was a
not even
guy
1 year.
When he was the champion.
See, about 10 months.
Yeah.
Whatever the company wanted.
Well, Shawn how many times? Did, and then he I gave up the title without giving up the title because he lost his smile.
Yes, that's what it was. 10 months.
10 months. Yeah. He lost his smile.
I literally could see Vince McMahon kick Shawn to the curb. Like
I literally could see.
It's time to go with the hot new toy, and that, in my opinion. That's what Vince was doing. And in his opinion,
that was right. That was the right
opinion,
move.
I think he had every right in the world to be upset.
How does Vince
now, fuck off.
The talent to occur? Is it less TV time? Is it losses on television? Like, what is
attention.
That
to... Attention. Just the
personal attention.
Personal attention.
In locker room.
I really
go lie down.
The day Steve Austin won the WWE title for the first time, Vince McMahon at the next TV said to me, Vince, Steve is your number one priority. Nobody else matters. You're to be with him, you know, 24/7, 24 hours a day. You know, he is the guy. So it was really just personal attention. Whereas when Vince needed Shawn, you know, prior to the Attitude Era, you know, Shawn was the guy. All of a sudden now he's got this new guy that's on fire, and all of his personal attention is going to Steve. And I think Shawn took that personally, and quite honestly, I didn't blame him. I saw it with my own two eyes.
He saw it with his eyes.
You
ruined it! Tyson appears on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
You ruined it!
We should use that line on the show.
How's the deal made to get Tyson? I mean, where does this begin? How do you get him before the competition does? Yeah.
Shane.
This was 100% the genius of Vince McMahon. You got to remember,
or Shane,
Tyson was barred from boxing because of the Holyfield situation. In Vince's strategy was, they will pay to see Mike Tyson on pay-per-view. If they can't see him in the boxing arena, they will pay to see him in a wrestling ring. And he was absolutely dead on. And, I mean, I don't know how much Vince spent for him. I'm sure it was a pretty penny. But I tell everybody this who asked me. This was the official start of the Attitude Era. Without Tyson... And without Vince, you know, making that decision,
what do you think?
I don't know if things folded it out the way they did.
I could see the argument.
A lot of people don't know.
The wheels have been motion, like the screw job to me was really...
So to me, the screw job is the official launch.
You could even go back to, say, Hell in the Cell.
You could, yeah.
Because the night after Hell in the Cell is when DX really
first emerged,
kicked off.
Yeah.
24-7.
I consider it to be the screw job, though.
When
the screw job happened to me, that was the...
I think in Vince's mind, the wheels were turning. Not only would this be a great coup for the WWE, but maybe once Tyson sees what I did for him here and what I did for his... he was getting bad press at the time, but what I did for his PR here, maybe I could take this to the next level. And I believe... That was an ulterior motive of Vince. And like I said, that belief comes from...
He wanted to manage Tyson long term, is he thinking?
Like 24.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I think there was a little bit more...
There's money to be made, right?
Was right... He had Don King at first, right?
Yeah.
DX's State of the Union Address, February 2nd. That was fantastic.
Oh, that was the one where they censored all the stuff?
Yeah. Shut your fucking mouth. Fuck me.
I remember during the week, like, USA was starting to have some problems.
They were
so I was like, you know what, let's use this to our advantage. And I got to tell you, I think that was one of the better moments.
Hunter and Sean have made it seem like that was their idea.
Is this something?
Yes.
He's making it seem like it's his idea.
It's his idea.
Maybe it's somewhere in between. Because it is a couple of liars.
Did you ask for the way the company has to go, or did he need a little bit of convincing, big picture? Well, see, that's tough to say because no matter what I say, nobody believes.
What?
If you know,
I wonder why.
You cannot give him a white piece of paper and he's going to write you a wrestling show. He can't do that. That's just not one of his gifts. He's not capable of doing that. How it worked literally was I would write, the entire show and hand it to Vince. This is where I always say, and I give him all the credit in the world, and like I said, my detractors out there,
he missed a lot of lies.
I say they don't want to. This is the
genius. Yeah, he lied.
And I said this a million times.
You missed that part, B.
I would write a show with my blood, my sweat, my tears, dotting my I's, crossing my T's, because I'm writing the show, and while I'm writing it, I'm saying to myself, I can't leave any holes in this show, because Vince will find the holes. So I have to sit here and write a flawless show before I get into it. All my energy, the hours...
Yeah, and he always did that. That was the thing.
Oh, yeah, every time.
Now,
yeah.
Vince would take the finished product. He would go through the entire format, and he had a way, and he used to call it the nuances. He had a way of picking out, like, just little things of every in every segment.
Paul Heyman used to call them the Jew-ances.
I see that.
Seven, it were now a 10. And I used to sit there like so frustrated, like why didn't I see that? It got to almost be like a competition because I wanted to write a show where he couldn't change anything. But I realized the genius of Vince was when you handed him a show, he saw things that other people didn't see.
In WCW,
he just saw things that the average writer. Would not see.
At least he's calling himself an average writer.
But no, it seems like a bit of a compliment.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Of course, that was great. But then other ones where you went, I don't think...
Like, what the fuck?
Were you able to voice your displeasure in his changes? He never changed it. I mean, people...
Or suggestions. People
find that, like, so hard to believe in. Listen, man, Ferrara's out there. Like, anybody could ask Ed Ferrara. Vince
It's his ride. It's because Ferrara is now driving a taxi.
Next year, no, we're not going to have this match. No way going in this direction. He never did that. What he would do, I think he understood the effort that Ed and I were putting into the show. I think Vince knew that. Keep in mind.
Yeah, that's why I told you to hire a nanny.
Are climbing this whole thing. So Vince was smart enough to, I'm not going to screw with something that's working. So that's why I say, you know,
it's true.
You know,
that part's true.
Shows,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know,
but I mean, there's all sorts of things what he's overlooking is things like the Pope Mobile.
Yes.
Which he wrote about in the.
Just X-ing things out.
What, did he say honest?
That just honest really happened.
Oh, yeah.
Did he?
All right.
Oh, we missed a few honestes?
I just went, okay, Raw is war. Cactus and Chainsaw take the dumpster dive.
So you were talking about the Pope Mobile. What were you saying?
Well, like. He wrote about it in Raw Magazine. He wanted
first
to do
all,
it.
Yeah.
Vince in the Pulp Mobile. Vince is like, no, we're not fucking doing that.
Yeah.
And then the second he got WCW as an on-air character, he did it with Goldberg.
Yes, that's right. And it didn't work.
And it didn't work.
Quinn was pushing to bring Terry Funk back because Jim Quinn loves Terry Funk, as we all do. I love Terry Funk, man. Unbelievable. As a matter of fact, in this show, I had to look it up. He does a moonsault. Not this one. I did the one before, but he did a moonsault off the top. I had to look it up. He was 54 years old. At the time.
What?
That's incredible. Yeah. So everybody
is
loves
that false?
Yeah. Okay, so.
Well,
Jim Cornette was trying to get Terry Funk on the show.
Yes, that's right.
Listening to the conversation, I think there was some heat back in the history of Vince McMahon and Terry Funk.
Gee!
Whether it was
a wrestling historian, Vince fucking Russo.
Yes.
There was something there where, like, Vince didn't, like, jump at the chance to bring him in, right? So I remember.
Well, he did think he was old.
Yeah.
He was probably like 46 at the time.
He said 54 there.
Oh.
Where Vince and I
so he's probably 46 at the time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Every day he woke up in pain.
Every day he woke up in pain.
Me and Vince are right in the attitude.
Well, then again, so do
Jim's
I.
Still doing his medical stuff.
Of course.
And he wanted to bring in Terry Funk. So he suggested the idea of.
The idea. The idea of.
Terry Funk in a box and leaving him ringside the entire show.
Yeah, because nobody had ever done that before.
No,
that wasn't.
And I remember this like it was yesterday because you don't forget a quote like this. And this isn't like the Pope fun.
It's
this
not like
one of the
that's episodes. How fucking Cactus Jack was introduced.
Jim sat there and told me and Vince, anybody who
yeah, that's right.
It was against Triple H.
And like we just had to. I mean, that's priceless.
Did you hear that?
I mean, not,
what?
If I can make that up,
anybody that comes out of a box is instantly over.
Oh yeah,
Vince took that. And
Vince loves when people
some
come
reason,
out.
I think he wanted to take away from Jim that we're going to use Terry Funk. And I think, like I said, there may have been a back history where there was a little heat with Terry Funk. So Vince came up with the idea of, okay, we'll put him in a box.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be Terry Funk that comes out. It's going to be Chainsaw Charlie. Now, Cornette, like, was like. He could not even believe, like, did this Terry Funk
is
this Jesus.
Is the first thing I can see being true.
I'm sitting there, like, realizing, like, I think this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, Chainsaw Charlie. But I'm also picking up the vibes from Vince and the stuff that he's saying that there's more here than meets the eye. Yeah, remember back in the day when Vince made Dusty come out in the yellow polka dots? To me, it was like that. Kind of a moment, so like I really didn't say anything. Thus, Chainsaw Charlie. Vince comes up with the name. He has the name Chainsaw Charlie ready and all that. Yes, yes.
He probably won't use it for years.
Well,
probably,
because I noticed this when I went back and watched. Terry goes along with it, but if you notice during one of the live shows, at some point Terry lifts up the stocking.
I remember that
to
actually.
Show everybody.
Yeah,
and then he pulls
like
it right back down.
Yeah,
so it's like. Vince was trying to get over on Terry, and Terry the Professional was saying, you're not going to get over on me.
Terry
those
the Professional.
Like that
Terry the Professional.
That's what defines a professional, Terry.
Yes, that's right. To take your gimmick and ruin it.
To ruin your gimmick.
I got to tell you this, too. I'll tell you a couple of things. Well, first of all, if you look at it closely, because I just looked at it the other day, you could see it's lined with, like, black plastic garbage bags. That's because underneath it on all sides and the bottom was protection. Okay, but I can tell you this is another thing I remember. very rarely.
That explains why Sonny was really out there so
like, yeah, that does, yeah.
With a talent. You know, like, I did a lot of that. I did a producing. This was a segment. If you go back and you look at these shows, the New Age Outlaws were, like, just starting to get over. Okay?
They were just starting.
That's true, actually. Even, like, at the beginning of this feud and stuff, they weren't that over yet. Really
no, because they just went with the LOD first.
He was out
yeah.
there.
The LOD and they didn't have the they didn't have the whole entrance yet.
And again,
no, they were doing different stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember watching one where they're like, your ass better page somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was just, you know.
Yeah, a little different every time. Yeah, not quite.
Backside at the time. Vince turned around and said to me, he goes, I don't understand it. He goes, we have the talent here, and they're a lot younger. Okay, so we already had China,
well, that's not even true. And they, on top,
and
maybe
Bishop,
yeah, on top, yes. Yeah.
But they had more talent in WCW and young
to,
like,
expand that yeah. group. And he came up with the idea of the New Age Outlaws.
I mean, their talent was old. Like, Lex Luger was what, like 38, 39?
I looked at him and I'm like, Vince, they were not over. Those guys were not over. And I said, Vince, I don't see that. I mean,
only your boy back then was only
and Sean good. In China, and you know, these guys were Rockabilly, the Roadie. I don't see that combination. But he goes, no, he saw it and he believed
it.
He saw it.
And I think it was the fact it. That, like, I kind of told him I didn't think it would work.
Every time Vince Russo uses an R in the wrong place.
And he started producing those guys. I think this was the most that I ever saw Vince work with anybody.
He said it right that time.
He really started producing Billy. He really started producing Road Dogg. So he had a lot of involvement in those scenes.
The Voodoo Kin Mafia.
There you go.
Tennessee Lee debuts. Colonel Robert Parker introduced Jeff Jarrett on March 2nd.
Ah. Raw's oh, that's right. This is after they dropped the
Jarrett. This is Robert Parker.
The Jarrett. Then they dropped kind of that NWA, like that.
Yeah,
what, that,
they dropped
what,
it, yeah.
What was that gimmick? What would you even call that? The,
again, I think it's
Jeff Jarrett.
You know, this,
I don't know. Really remember those weird tights and stuff? And
yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember what... Yeah, because
this is where he went back to the country music shit.
Yeah. Back to Double J.
Back to Double J.
Yeah.
But what was he before? Like, what would you call that gimmick? What was the Jeff Jarrett, though?
Stupid? Stupid Jeff Jarrett and back to Double J.
Yeah, the rustling god type character. Yeah, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, if we went from a 3 and these guys came on, and
he's talking about ratings.
5. Oh. Why would we go there the next week? That's the problem with today's wrestling. Nobody's looking at the ratings. The ratings would tell them.
It's 2 more.
Yep. They need to know. Nobody's looking.
So yeah. Yes, they fucking do. Actually, no, you're right. I forgot. The ratings don't matter anymore. Yeah, Vince
the
said.
And the, crowd. The beautiful thing about Vince, and listen, I got to tell you, I ran into this outside of
I thought he was going to be honest for a second.
Yeah.
I ran into this with everybody I ever worked with when it came creative. And I'm talking from Eric Bischoff to Jim Cornette to Jerry Jarrett to anybody I ever worked with creative. A lot of times, my
Jerry Jarrett, I thought he said creative.
Yeah, and he implied creative on himself.
And you are hearing mm-hmm.
Well, he was creative. I'll give him that.
Yes.
And I would sit there and
he did think of things that no one else did.
Yeah, matter. Reverse battle royals. It's creative. It's fucking stupid. But it's creative.
Is the documentation of the ratings. This is all that matters. And even Vince, he was ratings. Not, I want to push this guy, I want to push that guy. I don't like this guy, I don't like the guy. Vince was not that way at all. The numbers were dictating. And when you look at it, that really made our jobs easy. Right. That's why today I don't understand why that's been thrown out the window.
All right, let's see. March 17th. Sable is given an award by Vince Russo for making the cover of Raw magazine the top seller.
Is she, at this point, easy
a to bitch? Oh,
is she a cunt?
I mean, without a doubt. Listen, man,
yeah, absolutely.
I was...
Because I don't want Brock Lesnar to beat the shit out of me.
Yeah,
she was so nice.
I could not even look her in the eye. I thought she was the most attractive woman I had ever seen. And all my dealings with her, I mean, she was an absolute, you know, sweetheart. I mean, I worked, you know, really, really closely with her because,
I wanted to fuck her.
Oh, man, this was kind of like the first diva that was starting to get over, and the guys really didn't like it. It was still really the old...
That part, I actually believe. I know a lot of the other women didn't like it. Sonny didn't like it.
No.
And I but knew she knew what was going on. Mark Metro, who was a great guy, was in the middle of this. Me, I hate to say it, but all I cared about was the ratings.
Huh,
and
that's a surprise.
And if was drawing...
Drawing.
Drawing.
Like it or not, I did not care.
So some of what we think about her being difficult and not easy.
I did not care.
Yeah.
Some of that comes from...
Because it was drawing.
That was just uncomfortable.
Fucking idiot.
Well, I could tell you right now, my run with her
in the attitude
era, and she left before I did. I never had one single issue with her whatsoever. Now, I don't know if they're talking about the later years. I know she went back and spent some time there.
No, they're talking about that time. As soon as she started to become a draw, then she got a big head. And she became a bitch to work with.
Not with you, but
and that was while he was still there. That was on her first run.
I witnessed the biggest names on the WWE roster in Vince McMahon's ear, and they did not like the fact that she was getting over. And I witnessed that. And like I said, I really didn't care because all that mattered was how many people were watching.
That counts. That counts. That counts. Put that down.
Got the banger. Oh,
That's a good question. I don't remember. I mean, I you know, it was a blatant magazine plug. You know, I mean, we wrote it to plug the magazine, but like my part in it wasn't really the reason for it. It was just a magazine plug, and I was the editor of the magazine.
This is a good point in time to talk about the magazine and. What your responsibilities were with the
magazine. I was still in charge of the magazine while all this was going on, so I had a dual role. I mean, I was running two magazines, the WWE magazine and the Raw magazine, and I was writing the television. I was involved with the magazine and head of the magazine to the day I left. So the whole time that I was writing television, I was doing the magazine as well.
What's your staff consist of for the magazine?
One full time and one freelance.
So you're doing everything.
Yes. I mean, there were times where
there were times.
Yes.
When I had to write the entire magazine.
But I'm talking about the content. I had there was an assistant editor, and there was a freelancer.
Steve Austin wins the world title at WrestleMania 14. But the thing is with the magazine, he was talking about two people.
Before,
he had all those little fucking interns on that did the .com shit.
Yes, he did.
That wrote all the fucking
crap. Are you having discussions now, Vince, about
so turns out he lied.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're saying there was a lie told by Vince Russo.
Yeah. It was that Lucas Swineford. Kevin Kelly used to write the magazine. And
again, based on ratings, we wrote the television week to week. This was all planning. We know where we were going pay-per-view. That was it. So we were always
so way more than they know now.
The next pay-per-view.
About eight times more than they know now. Mike Tyson made the pinfall.
We're going week by week by week, keeping our finger on the
ratings. So you were totally flexible.
Ratings. He said ratings.
Shift in crowds and sentiment. You could follow that.
Absolutely.
With the right.
Absolutely.
He hasn't been honest with us forever.
The Undertaker pulls Shawn Michaels
fucking liar
before this match and tells him not to cause any problems in the ring. And he's saying this while he's taping up his fists to assure that Michaels gets the message and there's no issues.
I've heard that, but I mean, I don't know if that's true. And I did not see that. I did not witness that, but I've heard it.
What's the reaction when Shawn leaves? Are there some that are happy to see him?
Probably.
At that point, yes. And I think Shawn would be the first one to tell you, I would have been happy to see me go. He was not the Shawn Michaels he is today. He was under the influence of a lot of things. He was in a foul mood because of the way Vince was treating him. I think Shawn would have been happy.
Yeah, because of the way Vince was treating him.
This show's hugely successful.
None of the drugs he took caused paranoia.
No. He was so good to other people.
Yes, that's right.
is their jubilation that...
That's why he came back 3 years later to fight Hunter at WrestleMania.
That's right.
Or does that take a while to... There was never time for jubilation. People think I'm kidding. Like, we never...
Did I just use that word?
You did, yes.
Weird.
It was next week's show. So you could not stop for a minute.
Because I've never heard you use it before your entire life.
That was always interesting.
Nice.
Just remember Sean went into the match with a severe back injury. And I remember after the match, Sean laid out on the floor in the locker room and his parents were over him. And I mean, he was really selling the back. I witnessed that. The thing that always puzzled me, and yeah, I don't know if Sean would come clean now. If asked, I bet you he would. But the one thing that always interests me was I never knew... Is Sean really hurt? Is Sean work? Is Sean a little hurt? You know, I never really...
Sean.
Watching that match, there was one specific
when he winced
in the match where Sean kicked up. And I watched that and I said, there is no way in the world. But then again, the other side of me was like, well, listen, if your adrenaline... is going 100
There's,
miles an
to
hour
this day, people don't know if he was working the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget watching and seeing
I
kind of
suspect
hip,
he was.
Hip-hop.
He was so fucked up.
Like, yeah.
And such a diva and everything. I think he was.
Yeah.
Again, you know.
Even the way he came
that was
back.
Just one
yeah, exactly.
I always remember
exactly. He had an injury at some point, but never a career-threatening injury.
The day after WrestleMania, Legion of Doom packaged his LOD 2000.
Oh, Sonny.
It was Sonny and...
grown
and
out hair.
Hockey masks.
Yeah.
Man, we were... This has a lot to do with it. Sable was getting over huge. I swear to God, Sable... I remember the specific point in time.
That's being truth. He
it
swears
was
to God.
Sable
that counts.
Nobody on the show not doing anything.
He's probably done that seven or eight more times.
Probably. Probably missing
that. She was like selling a big oversized plastic chair. I mean, she was like it was like a QVC spot. She was selling this chair on the stage. I'll never forget it because I was in the arena. The chair was on the stage. She came out, I swear to you, she got the second biggest pop of the night behind Austin. That's when I went back to Vince and I was like, I don't care who likes it and who doesn't. The response she's getting is unbelievable. At that point, you know, we start giving her more and more and more Tifa. Sonny was so jealous of Sable and like was just the biggest headache at the time, and if you go back,
he's telling the truth again.
Shows,
yeah,
you can clearly see every week we're trying to find something for Sonny to do to be outside of people because God forbid we put Sable out there, we didn't put Sonny out, we had to hear it till the cows come home. So, LOD 2000, a big part of that was what do we do with Sonny? Wow. Yeah. So repackaging the Road Warriors. So Tammy stopped bitching.
Horrifying. That was funny. Kane Powell drives Pete Rose prior to the Undertaker match.
WrestleMania. Which is weird because Kane's the heel.
Yes.
And Pete Rose came out and cut a heel promo.
Yes, and then he got a babyface reaction. Kenny Russell's the Undertaker.
Yes.
It's really fucked up. It should have been Undertaker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The more money you give Pete Rose, the more he do. It was literally that.
Not Pete Rose.
These guys give each other new heads for Christmas, for Christ's sake.
I mean, it was like...
Pete Rose was wanting money?
Pete Rose was a money whore?
Based on how much money you throw at it. It was incredible.
How much did he bet on?
He wasn't hesitant. Because the money was right, I guess. Not at all, no. The only other celebrity besides Pete and...
He's got an inside line.
...is Jennifer Flowers. She had the affair.
Let me tell you something, Jenny.
Kind of an odd fit
if
for
The Rock.
How is she at this?
There's a jury.
He'd
be a hung jury if you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And that kicked off that line. First time he used it.
Yeah.
Whenever we brought females in, it was always tough because they were always afraid. Maybe you could remember the name. Who was the one at the time that was like the darling of the internet?
Cindy Margolis.
There you are. They always came in, and listen, we were always going to push the envelope as far as we could. But first and foremost, we were always going to make sure they were safe. So
they were really pushing the envelope with Cindy Margolis, Hockey Talk Man called her Candy Margufis.
Yeah.
Fuck, do you think they could get away with that now?
No. No.
You know, they would start working in their charm, and they would make it sound like it was going to be the most exciting thing in the world.
What?
George Clooney has
I mean, that's how they sold it.
It's true.
So, that's with true. The girls, it was a little different. George Clooney. They were afraid.
Yeah.
They were skeptical. At times, we had to talk them into whatever they did. But, I mean, I will say, first and foremost, we always made sure everybody was
I don't think he answered the question. Triple H takes control of DX and X-Pac returns on the night after WrestleMania.
A great moment.
That was a great moment.
Yeah.
Is Hunter ready to step out of
and
Sean Shatter?
That was where they turned babyface, even though it wasn't official for a while.
I think Hunter is, right. and nothing against Hunter, but what kind
but that of moment happened, where X-Pac came out and shot on Bischoff?
I gotta tell you this.
You suck, pal.
Going back and watching this stuff.
Hulk Hogan,
you suck,
pal.
You know, the more and more I watch this, you know about
next thing you know, they'll tell him to stick it.
You know about The Rock, brother. The height of the Attitude Era would come later.
Era.
But when I look at Sean and early DX, I walk away from every show saying, you know what? He was the best one on the show. I mean...
Wow.
Shawn Michaels
was
incredible.
Shawn Michaels
is good.
The best one on Raw.
Steve Austin.
To Seth Rollins today. You have what? To do that. They were both great workers. Both, you know, about the same height, the same weight. But man, when you put Shawn Michaels up against the Seth Rollins, it's like watching Robert De Niro and Bullwinkle. Sean was just that
wow.
good. So I think
Sean didn't have the same. Didn't have. Sean didn't have 32 people writing for him either.
Well, let me pull a briefcase out of my head. I can't. That trick never works.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Yes.
Presto.
Notice any arrogance? Like this, the door don't let anything on the edge on the way out.
He's softened. He's not yet. I have to ask JBL. I don't know. You talk to him more.
No, that didn't surprise me.
Okay, what here?
Dan
Severn debuts. Really?
Jim Cornette introduced.
I don't remember that.
NWA champion Dan Severn.
Oh, just as his bodyguard standing behind him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's NWA champion. Since everybody was shooting, I want to bring in a shooter.
Yes.
There was no comparison on how over one was. Why?
I don't think Dan Severn got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Shamrock's another one. When I go back and I watch these shows, oh my God, he was an MMA shoot fighter that got it. You know, his character
he was
over
a wrestler,
the top.
He became
I mean,
an MMA
like,
shoot
you know, you watch
that's
Shamrock
right, yeah.
and you're like, this guy would kill
and
me if I. He played a character.
He played a character that could snap at any point in time.
Always, you know, that
and he was on a lot of steroids, so he could snap at any point in time.
So he was a shoot fighter that was shooting.
Yes.
Up.
Yes.
Shamrock got it, you know, I mean, unbelievably.
What was seen in Dan
what?
That anyone thought he would?
You told a lie?
Yeah. Just because it was a name? Just
worth
a
shot. Goddamn lie.
Yeah, exactly. It was a name that was worth a shot.
Okay.
I just don't think he picked up the entertainment aspect of wrestling.
He's showing UFC belts. They show the clip of fight clips and whatnot. There's some working arrangement with WWE, or they just ask for permission?
I honestly don't know. I was thinking about that myself. I mean, because I saw a couple of promotions
so,
like MMA companies at the time, and I'm like, man, that's odd. I don't know what the arrangement was.
Severn not working as well as we would have wanted, and here we're still.
Thing was,
Severn was the NWA champion of
his
wrestling, right?
Yeah. And not only that, but the thing was, they booked the King of the Ring so that they could have had them in the semifinals.
Yes.
And they never did it. And so you say it didn't work. You also didn't put him in the match that would be the most money match.
Raw beats Nitro on April 13th, so 2 weeks after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
In the ratings, after 83 straight
weeks.
Oh,
he's going to bring up ratings. I'll keep a count here.
About the ratings.
Worked well. You have workers that work well individually, but then you've got some that are magic when you put them together.
You're ready. Yeah. How many times?
God, man, I guess, you know, just two of the greatest performers in the history of wrestling. And
it's true.
I think so much that had to do with it was, you know, let's face it, how many blue-collar workers in the world will live in vicariously through Steve Austin? How many people would go to work every day absolutely want to kill their boss?
Yeah. So I have people that want to do that to me.
He was speaking to them, but my point is,
yesterday.
I don't know. To do with it. I mean, when those happened? Two are in the ring.
Oh, just in general.
Just in general. Just right. He's an asshole. Don't you know that?
That has to bring you, if you're at a 10, that has to bring you.
And he's a dick.
Feeding off that.
And Mo is fat.
And hearing that excitement. And he's the same. There are people on the WWE roster right now like they don't even hear the crowd. That have no idea how to play. I love this.
He's a fucking idiot. He's an idiot.
They're so
focused on talking about how people.
Are they told? Yes, they are. Absolutely. It's not on. They don't write the show. They just perform the show. But
he's talking about how characters don't know how to play to the crowd.
100%.
And Oliver's pointing out they're not. They're told not to play to the crowd.
And he hears the people getting hot. He's going
to
stretch it.
Yeah, wrestlers are told not to play to the crowd.
I know that, yeah.
But he's talking about how they just don't know how.
Had Vince been itching to?
No, they're told not to. They're told you aren't allowed to.
I think he was, but he.
Which is stupid, because that's what got like Hulk Hogan over.
Yes.
But I think Val Shadow.
This fellow
and
named The
Steve
Rock.
Austin over?
Yeah.
And
this fellow named The Rock.
Yeah.
No. My nervousness was that he was going to hurt himself because he was going to go out there and be absolutely nuts. Not that he didn't know what he was doing, but that he would try to go above and beyond and maybe try to do some things that at that point his body wasn't capable of doing. That was my concern for him. Not that he couldn't pull it off. I didn't doubt him for a second.
Vince.
Take me to
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I gotta tell you, it was
Oliver can't say ratings. It has to be a Vince ratings.
It really was because it was the success.
You guys,
the Attitude Era was like you just said. This week, 83 weeks, it was a 4-6 to a 4-3. All
that
we
counts.
Care about on Tuesday is we want next week's show to be better than last week's. I mean that's always what it was. We want next week's show to be better. So. I regret now that we didn't stop and smell the roses and we didn't stop and enjoy it more. But when you're, you know, live every week, 52
so
weeks
he
out of the year, they're
saying he regrets Crash TV?
There's no private moment with you.
No.
I'm telling you, there really wasn't. I wish there was.
Right. You wish just there was a private meeting between a private moment. What?
Really?
I'm sure you have a little bit of a raise this year. You go from that to
raise. But this other guy.
Whoa. Oh, okay. There we go.
So here's the part that I wish you guys could see.
Daryl Briscoe and Pat Patterson come in as the Stooges.
That's the guy to help against Steve Austin. So here's the part you guys can't see. When Annie anticipates he's going to start, say, ratings, he leans over and gets this huge smile on his
face.
And he grabs the pen. And he's anticipating writing down. You should see the excitement. He's going to talk about ratings. What an asshole.
The most enjoyment I had on the show. Because you know what the beauty of it was? And you'll realize this because I know you know you get into acting and all that. I know you love this stuff. Here's the thing. You know how great it is to sit back and you have two former wrestlers. You know, at that time they were probably, well, Jerry just, you know, said he just turned 70. We just saw him. So
at saw the time,
him. 60. No, wait, wait. No, well, 98. Oh, so. 54, 55, okay. The beauty of this was they had no clue how good they were. They just, like, had absolutely no...
Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson had no clue how good they were?
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Tears in my eyes. This was the greatest entertainment I had ever seen, and neither one of them had a clue to how good they were, which is why it was so hot. Glenn Gilberti points this out all the time.
Oh, here we
points
go.
Points it out all the
oh,
time.
Boy.
I don't know if
Disco.
We had, like, just beat Nitro, and it was a couple of weeks after, but I remember Glenn tells the story that night, like, their main event was, like, Savage and Hogan. And Glenn will tell you the story that, you know, all day at WCW, this is the night we get the ratings back. This is the night we get the ratings back. They were all said they were pumping this match, pumping this match, pumping this match. Our main event was Briscoe and Patterson against the Main Street Bullies. What were they called?
Main Street Posse.
Main Street Posse.
Yeah.
In the last segment, it blew WCW out. Glenn,
is that true?
That is true.
But if that
how the fuck is that even possible?
I remember.
That's amazing. Actually,
how over they were in it. Well, it was just incredible, man.
There must have been some other hope besides the match.
I think it was at the end. Ric Flair, WWE bound. Jim Ross mentioned Ric Flair lives just a few miles from Greensboro, the site of the pay-per-view the next night from Shotgun Saturday Night in Backlash, I believe.
That's right. That was when he was suspended.
No, I think
Cornette was suspended.
There was a lot of talk between
Reed,
whatever.
Reed,
and
yeah, going to rehab or whatever.
I remember hearing
he was going to go rehab. He was only 13 or something at the time.
Oh, so he didn't need rehab yet.
As a writer.
He probably did. Right. He's Flair's kid. He probably did.
It's true. He just started taking.
Never got to that.
Okay. Undertaker defeats Kane in the first ever Inferno match.
All right, the Inferno match.
At Unforgiven.
There's a lot of liability with something like this. Did Vince need a lot of convincing to go with a fireman?
Not at all. It wasn't even that. I mean, obviously, our biggest concern was, what is this going to look like? Listen, man, I I'll say this right here, because, I'll get beat up for a lot of things. Okay? I'm not going to get beat up for the electrified cage at TNA. That was not my idea. But I was away from TNA for a while, and the day I came back, Jeff and Dutch are talking about this electrifying cage. Now, I'm sitting there, and
we're off on a tangent.
Yes.
TNA has no money. You know, they have no money for production. They have no money for special effects. Nothing. So immediately, while they're talking about this electrified cage, in my mind, I'm like, what is this going to look at? This is TNA. They're not going to be able to pull this off. Unfortunately, it was my first meeting back, so I really couldn't say anything. But the reason I bring that up is when you go to the Inferno match, of course that is your first concern. But the difference was, there was an MVP in every role at the WWE. And you know, no expense was too much. So you knew if we booked an Inferno match, this thing is going to look good.
Right.
And, you know, and
why
did
you book a Human Torch match in WCW?
Yes.
Like, we just want to make sure it came off good, and I think it did.
Because that didn't look good.
It did not look good. Well, that's the WCW 2000 one to watch, right?
That's right, that's right. Actually, that's a reason to watch it, you're right.
Yeah.
Just for this explanation.
Yes.
Too much?
I think so.
DX Invasion Nitro. Oh. Look at how this is. It's like April 27th. Like, you just come off Mania.
Yeah,
and then you got
great thing.
Vince and right.
Yeah.
Where do you get a tank?
This is one of my favorites. So I was just telling you about one. There was a guy, and you could read my first book.
Was a guy.
Yeah,
I'm
was
not
it guy.
The book. I want you to read about this.
Is it called Forgiven?
I literally...
It is. You have it in there.
A guy by the name
why? I don't know.
I forget why
Richie
I have
Richie Curtis was a magician by day and the gimmick guy at the WWE, you know, at night. And...
Because magicians usually are booked during the day.
Yeah.
They barely take an evening booking.
And
as
also
magicians.
Kevin Dunn was a big part of that too. So this is the thing where whatever I asked for, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what it was there.
So in other words, he came up with this idea.
Apparently.
Fill up concrete, it was gonna be there. Right. No questions asked. So I'll never forget. I'm writing this DX Invasion. And
he's writing this
the
DX Invasion.
He is. Wow.
Oh,
I'm gonna
this is new.
That
yeah.
Pulls up in a rocket launcher. I'm literally entertaining myself saying there is no way. So sure enough, you know, as always, Vince goes through the script is finalized, it gets sent to Kevin Dunn, because they would go over the show, they need this, they need gimmick chick, gimmick tables, blah, 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 blah.
He's full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
He's so full of shit.
So I'm already planning in my mind, okay, what's going to be plan B?
Because Pritchard backs up the exact story on this, on our Bischoff Pritchard thing. As what Hunter has said and stuff, and you know, Road Dogg in the past, and it's not this.
No,
I could not believe it.
It's the first thing you say. Where did you get this?
Oh, it was like a last minute thing. Of, holy shit! They're running that close to us.
Yeah.
How can we use this?
How do we do it? Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was Richie Curtis.
Richie Curtis has something, but that was also Kevin Dunn again because that was like a bigger stunt. But Richie Curtis, like when, you know, the Undertaker disappearing in the casket. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Unbelievable.
And then the news stories that you guys brought up to CNN
I'm trying to find the Mean Street Posse.
Against
the Stooges, and all I'm finding is that they had a match on May 10th of 1999.
Oh!
And you know what was on Nitro May 10th, 1999?
What's that?
There was no Nitro May 10th, 1999. They're preempted for NBA basketball playoffs.
So what you're saying is, Russo told a lie.
This could be full of shit. I'm going to type in night.
You're kidding me. That makes sense. They would sit there and go, oh, fuck, we don't have to throw out something great. Those other guys aren't even on. So let's put out the Stooges against Mean Street Posse.
Yeah.
Not they have Hogan versus Savage. I know how we can beat them. He's telling a fucking lie. They preempted. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Monday night. I mean, you talked about Tyson. Really?
Yeah, they're all
I don't
May 10th,
99.
Yeah, because he's full of shit.
And I tried to do this at TNA, and they just did not have the balls. It's that simple, okay? I'm a big proponent of this. If you're number two, you throw the kitchen sink at number one. You do everything to antagonize them, to make them take their eye off the ball, and any spotlight they give you.
Okay, so why did they invade Nitro when they were number one?
I don't know. They were number one.
They might not be number one.
You know, they were back and forth.
Yeah,
it
wasn't solidified.
WCW, win number two, we need to throw the kitchen sink. On the other side of the coin, when you're number one, you should pay absolutely no attention to number two. Number two doesn't exist. So the DX invasion as a whole was huge, and I'll tell you why I think it was huge. Because I think people at home were literally sitting
because of the two youths.
Like, literally saying, I can't believe they had the balls to do this. I mean, I remember,
Hunter
Dog and those guys.
I mean, they just couldn't believe Hunter had balls.
We didn't know
the balls to do it.
He's a little penis, but his balls are all right.
Now, China, on the other hand.
No, those are some balls.
I do believe she has the balls to do
that. They have the balls to do that. And that's what it was. I mean, so it was just the idea as a whole.
Idea?
China's first match in a mixed tag against...
Gave Skull a hurricanrana 2 minutes into a mixed tag. Then she punched Honk of LOD.
What place was China in back then?
I think if she could go back and change this, she would. Because I think she was in the wrong place. Because the place she was in was Triple H dictated everything she was going to do. So, like, you didn't even have the conversation with China. You had the conversation with Triple H.
And then it just went back to China for him.
Yes.
Well, she didn't know anything about wrestling, though. So
how was she?
Well,
what did you think?
She's trained by a colossus. Like, they went to training school together. That's how they met. But the thing was, she wasn't doing anything that didn't involve Hunter. So it's not that you talk to her. It's not about talking to her.
She was just really there because she knew how to handle a hog.
Oh, Flames traded Yuri Hoodler to Florida for a second round pick and a 2018 fourth round pick.
Sounds about right. So give up on the season.
The dismantling has begun. Yeah.
And it's the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
And who's that guy that wore the red pants?
You got to remember, with the attitude era, And this was the
Red Pants?
I can remember
Booker T?
No, on WWE?
Ernest the Cat Miller?
He didn't know how to wrestle. Rocky said he didn't know
how to wrestle. Oh, wait, Flash Funk?
Rocky said he didn't know how to wrestle?
Rocky Maivia said he didn't know how to wrestle.
Billy Gunn?
He was entertained by the
Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed Johnson. Who was in my blog list against the Undertaker as a possible opponent that never got published.
Ahmed would have got the same pop as Shane?
Yeah, probably. No, at least. Come on. He would not have. But come on, of course he would have when they realized he's taking on The Undertaker. Because people always wondered what would happen if him and The Undertaker faced off. Always, according to him.
Yes.
Very rarely got a talent saying, you know what, that doesn't work for me, brother. I mean, you very, very rarely got it. So it really made it easy.
But the thing with China is that, she's not doing anything. Okay, Vince Russo was promoted to writer and assistant booker.
From Magazine Era.
So I was in charge of the magazine until the day I left.
Except for this guy that was hired from WCW to run it.
Yeah, a year and a half before I left.
You're on call 24 hours a day, but here's the thing that I have to
say. So you're saying he told a lie?
Especially back then.
I just like that he told a lie like 20 minutes ago.
And now they're bringing up a fact that that's not true.
I literally can remember being in movie theaters with them on a Saturday afternoon. You, there's no way you could not take his call. Okay? I had to get the boys, because I couldn't even in the arena by themselves, and I had to take the call.
The arena.
I had to get them on.
It was a theater, the arena where the movie was playing.
The movie was playing in the arena.
Kicking and screaming to go back and see the movies.
It was on this really small screen on the top of the...
He could not leave them there. No, because he couldn't find them again.
And I always wanted to watch sports movies for some reason.
He couldn't walk out the entrance where there's only one entrance out there and just leave them.
But I do have to say this.
Well, no, there's a couple exits.
I was the kind of guy that I could not wait to get to work back then.
So it could have just given them guns.
That's also a lot.
So I was there at the crack of dawn, and I was the last one to leave. But I will say this. No matter what time I went in the morning, and no matter what time I left, Vince McMahon's call.
So I was the first there in the morning and the last to leave.
Yes.
But Vince McMahon was always there. In other words, he didn't leave.
No.
But to give the guy 150%. I mean, every day. I mean, no matter what time I got, no matter what time I left, he was there.
What are you doing?
You're doing it again.
Thanks for announcing that on the podcast.
I had that.
It is Russo.
B is going to take a shit. Or as we call it, a Russo.
You know, when you saw this...
Alright, as you were.
As you were, go Russo, and don't forget to wipe your Dixie.
Yes.
What was he driving?
You really don't know?
Batman, I think.
For him. Bischoff challenges Vince McMahon. May 11th, Monday Nitro from the Kemper Arena. In Kansas City, Missouri.
Is there any reaction internally from Vince to this TV angle? We'll call it an angle. He was showing up. It was me and him alone at his house. You can't listen. Vince McMahon's ego is big.
So I have no witnesses.
Mike Tyson could have challenged Vince McMahon, and he would have wanted to show up. The guy's got an enormous ego. I think. We know that. So
We do.
The only reason
there's a truth.
He did not go was because Stephanie was graduating from Boston College the same day. The same exact day Stephanie was graduating.
That's the only reason he
didn't go.
That
was the only thing that prevented him from going. How would that have played out? Who knows? Who knows?
Bischoff would have kicked his ass.
He was pissed off. I mean, this is, you got to know Vince. This was challenging his manhood. You do not challenge his manhood. So whether it was a work or a shoot, the fact that Eric went out there and did it on national TV, Vince is not going to look like a pussy. So he would, I mean, he would have been there if it was anything else but his only daughter graduating college.
In a shoot, who's your money on?
I think Eric would have tucked his tail and ran the other way.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have even... I think he would have been flabbergasted. He wouldn't have known what to do.
Just so the guy with an actual amateur fighting background...
Yeah, for them to lower the gates. That's what he did. Would've, I think it would have been the same around. Exact situation.
Is there any chance, or is this all fantasy, that they would have met... Worked something out and did some kind of angle where they were beneficial.
Absolutely not.
That would have been like them hugging or something.
Yeah.
It never happened.
Never. Al Snow returned and brought Head with him.
Is this really worth mentioning?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Here's the highlight of May 11th. Move on.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I was the one. Keep in mind, he was there before his leave, Cassidy.
Yes.
And then, like, he didn't get anywhere. And, like, I know Vince didn't think highly of him. And then, literally, one night I was flipping through the channels. We flipped channels back then. And I saw Heads being thrown into the ring.
Well, that's how it happened. That's bullshit.
But, no, but he'd never seen ECW before.
I said, listen, I know, you know, Al was...
That is so much bullshit.
Stars.
They lent Al Snow to ECW. It wasn't like he went there by himself.
Was there something personal between him and
Al? No, just that he was, Nick Carter. You know, Vince, like...
And he was Al Snow at the end before he even went.
With yes. Vince, like, all well, he cared about, and no. From what I understand...
He was still Leave Cassidy.
Was
like,
he?
Yeah, he was snapped, though.
Like, oh, that's right, yeah.
It was like, what's Austin doing? What's Rock doing? Everybody else on down the card, that was for us to worry about. He just worried about the top guys. So, Nick Carter's on down. I mean, they were just replacing him.
What was the company's relationship with ECW?
I don't know what it was behind my back, but I'll tell you what I do
well,
know
never
that
heard of
really,
them.
Really
yeah, until that night.
Me and pissed me off, and this is why I don't look at Paul Heyman the same way that a lot of other people do.
Okay? Oh, this should
I
be good.
I don't know what the situation
Very
was.
Good.
I know Bruce Pritchard was involved because he was friends with Paul Lee, and he somehow brought Paul and Vince together. Okay, I was told one day by Vince that we have a working relationship with ECW. We're going to give them some of our guys. When we want some of our guys, all we have to
War
do
guys.
Is call Paul.
Paul.
And
Paul.
We're going to let the guys come up. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm like, okay, fair enough. Now, Vince never watched ECW, didn't know anything about NCW, didn't know any of the workers or anything. Okay? So now I was watching, you know, ECW.
Oh.
And
you were.
The first guys I had my eye on were the Dudleys. I thought, you know, Devon and Bubba, I thought they were absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, really?
So I went back to Vince. Huh. I said, Vince, there's these Dudley guys. I think they'll be great on our show. Vince went to Paul Lee. Paul Lee came back and told Vince, I'm sorry, but they're not interested in coming to the WWE. I'm sitting there saying, bro, okay, come on,
bro,
man.
Bro.
You know, Then it happened a second time with a second talent. And it may have even been out, I don't know, but the same thing. Vince, we gotta get so-and-so. Went to Paul Lee. Sorry, Vince, they don't want to come. Okay.
All the while he's accepting the talent that you're sending
absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now
Brockus,
what happens is,
yeah. Al Snow, Aldo Montoya. Wow, great. Good
well,
for them.
Two out of the three they actually did something with, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Third party.
But it's not like Aldo Montoya and Leaf.
Keep that door closed. I don't
want to.
Oh.
You can have Aldo Montoya and Leaf Cassidy and Furnace and LaFon.
So
yeah, exactly.
Like,
put me in
wow,
charge
thanks.
And
so
all we want
I
back is the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Or come to the WWE. I set up a meeting with Devon and Bubba and Vince McMahon. And then the Dudleys came
so
in.
So this is through a liaison.
Oh, so it was Vince Russo.
Not employed by
not Jim Ross.
Yeah. Knows you and knows them.
Yeah. And then Taz was the next guy to pretty much follow suit the same way. So that's why,
what?
Like, I, you know, listen.
Yeah,
you know,
Paul Heyman, though, you know,
was
looking out for the best interests of his company.
Wrestling.
What an asshole.
When I look back at, you know, thinking
yeah.
he was holding guys back, that just really bothered me.
Holy shit. Okay, wow. Val Venus comes.
Literally.
May 18th.
His Titantron video includes shots of oil drillers and hot dogs.
First of all,
and other phallic symbols.
Is, you know, a guy would be training to become a wrestler. When
oh, yeah.
when they thought
he was training.
ready because
because they had developmental back then. Yes,
from the wrestling aspect. It was time to Vince. You need to sit down with them and you need to come up with a gimmick for him. You know, that's why I sat down with Adam Copeland, with Edge and Christian, and that's what I did. So I got the call that Sean Morley was ready. So
He's spent a little time with
Sean, and the guy was so heavy into politics.
And pot.
First of all, I don't know about politics. I don't care about politics.
Really?
I've never voted for a president in my life.
Yes. So I proudly say that. Brag about that.
Yes. I don't know what I'm doing. So the more and more I'm spending time with him, and I'm looking at him, just
that was neat.
The realization that this guy just looks like a porn star. I mean, he must have watched a lot of porn. So I remember, going in Vince's office, and what did you meet with Sean Morley? Yeah, what do you think? And I said, Val Venus. And I mean, Vince,
came to him. Val Venus.
Yeah, yeah.
Venus. What rhymes with that?
Okay, that's
it. That's
what
it.
Is
I'm
a
simple
mind. What is it? I was a genus.
Called him on the phone right.
Oh, penis. You say
penis. Right there. Sean Morley was all on board. Here's the thing about Vince Van Damme that just. I could tell you so many instances like this. So, prior to Val coming in, we're doing a whole bunch of vignettes. Okay? At that point, remember, money's no object. Right? We get the hottest going porn star at the time, Jenna Jameson. We're at Bruce Pritchard's house. We have Jenna Jameson in the tub, in Bruce Pritchard's tub, in his house, both of them buck naked. We got Jenna Jameson buck naked.
And this is the only way that would ever happen at Bruce Pritchard's house.
Yes.
We should make that very clear.
Let's make that very clear. So we shoot all these vignettes with Jenna Jameson. She was the hottest porn star at the time. I'm excited. Bruce is excited.
I bet.
I go back and I show Vince these vignettes. With all the expense and all the work and everything involved, he kills every single thing that Jenna Jameson is in because he thinks she's ugly.
What?
And I was beside myself.
He must have paid her a fair amount of money for this.
Yeah. And the things she did was just like. But
she was in one, though.
She was in one, yeah.
She ended up being in one. Just one.
Entire career in the wrestling business.
Which makes me think the whole thing is a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Anybody the first
bullshit.
Time he came out New York.
What? He was more over the first time he came out? He's gonna puke!
Darren draws off.
Debuts. Puke's television debut.
Draws suffers a career-ending injury just a year. After he starts, how much potential do you think he would have had long term?
Not much.
No,
he was still developing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a great character, he had a great personality, but I really didn't get to see how he was on the mic. You know, I mean, at those beginning stages, I mean, you could see it was there, but we really hadn't gotten to the point of defining it yet.
It's true.
But,
I mean, what would you have said about? Christian at the same time.
As a fit with
Better worker.
Better worker.
But the persona that ended up coming, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't get to see yet.
You didn't get to see that yet. No.
You know, even Edge at that point.
Yeah, Edge didn't show personality for a long time.
No. So Puke, he'd end up becoming draws, right? So
I don't think he would have been anything,
but
I still wish he hadn't had his back broke.
The Oddities come May 19th.
By Whack Pack. Oh, yeah. Because he listened to the Howard Stern Show constantly.
Is this not 5 years?
I got to tell you a story.
This happened
first of all,
7 years before See No Evil.
I
think you're right.
This is May 19th.
If I could be anybody, I'd want to be Howard Stern.
We know that.
I wish I had his career. That's really.
Well, you wish you had a tenth, a one billionth of his talent.
Yes.
And I was watching all these Black Packers,
And he's watching. He was watching all these Whack Packers on the radio.
On the radio.
Yeah.
Well, he did have a TV thing, didn't he?
Our TV on demand.
You know they had that thing.
Yeah, HTOD. But
we're at the gorilla position, and it's time for the Whack Packers. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Paul Bearer.
But he was working from 8 a.m. until midnight.
That
every night.
I cannot describe to you the amount of respect I have for this man. I mean, what a tremendous, tremendous talent. So
who was that?
It is not reciprocal, Paul Bearer.
Oh, yeah. No, it is not.
And, like, he's looking at him.
Of course.
Like this. Like yes. This. I'm bringing up the rear because, listen, it was a shoot with these guys. Like, Hank, the angry dwarf,
sure.
Was the angry drunk
dwarf
was really drunk.
Of course.
All this was a shoot with these guys. They were, like, just lunatics out of their mind.
Crackhead Bob,
so, like,
who just died,
kind of
like, a couple months ago.
Because I was walking out.
They were the most real thing on that show.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, and, you know, Paul's going like this, blah, blah, blah. Then he's being looked up the road. And dead serious, he was hot. Dead serious, he looked at me. He goes, You just succeeded in becoming the wrestling business. And I felt like,
well,
I felt so, there was part
he
of
didn't
that
yet.
Yeah.
But eventually he will.
Paul Bearer, prognosticator.
Yes. Nostradamus of wrestling.
Part of me that was like, that was kind of a compliment.
Oh, what an asshole.
Because I knew the success of Stern. I knew the success of these characters. And I knew, you know,
they didn't do anything for WWE.
No, but nothing. But the rub that Golga would get,
oh,
it transferred him right to the stratosphere.
Oh, yeah. He drew so much money.
See?
Exactly.
Remember Earthquake?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Vader gets unmasked.
Oh, yeah.
In a mask versus match of a guy who every single match pulled his mask off.
Yes.
We finally saw what he looked like without that mask.
Yes.
Yeah. But
then I remember what he
That's a good stipulation.
I'm a fat piece of shit. Door. I remember
right.
that after the match.
That was right.
The first one out the chute for the live show. Vince is sitting at the gorilla position where he always was, and it literally is a minute to nine. Vader's nowhere to be found. Vince is going freaking nuts. Okay, where's Vader? Bruce is running around looking for him, you know, and Bruce is saying, you know, hold the intro, and this is, you know, the intro, we're live, damn it, you know, the whole line.
We're alive, damn it.
I can see that.
Vince has no...
Big man.
He's got to shoot the pyro. That's how we opened our show, the pyro, blah, 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 here comes the pyro, blah, 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 blah. The announcers are on, he's telling the announcers to string it out, he's going absolutely ballistic now, no Vader, right? So now all of a sudden, nobody can find him. The announcers, you can tell that, okay, the announcers are talking a little too much. Something's wrong. I think Vince sent
was
the
this?
Opponent first.
Over the Edge, you
know,
98.
But still, we didn't know, like, is there going to be a match? We don't
we'll go back and watch the beginning of this after.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We'll have to, yeah.
From underneath the stage, Vader comes walking out, pinballing into the walls, like not knowing where he was. He was under the stage stretching when the pyro went off right next to him.
Okay, we gotta watch this.
Yes.
And he came out like could not even walk a straight line, was bouncing off the walls, and had to literally walk directly to the ring. Maybe that's why we took the mask off him.
Wow.
Does that warrant taking the mask off?
No.
Okay, so that's different than
was he covered in
a different event.
I'll never forget that.
Never know.
Only he could have done that.
That's got to be a different event.
Yeah.
JVD. Rewind that. I think we got to hear that again.
Well, I'll just look at it. Junkyard Dog passes away.
Yeah, that's better. His daughter's name was LaToya.
She accepted the Hall of Fame award.
Yeah, I just didn't realize her name was LaToya.
LaToya Ritter.
I mean, it's such a tight-knit group and a tight-knit family. And
they gave each other new heads for Christmas, for Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake.
I mean, there was always a reaction. Every time something like that happened, man, it was so hard to go out
I was
and
like,
perform.
It's hard.
Okay, so,
perform.
So someone that Vince Russo never met.
Yeah.
You know,
ever, probably.
You have to justify, well, that's what you would want. So it's almost like you go out there and you do the show in his honor and in his memory.
What? What?
Yeah, I did. I actually spent a car ride with JYD probably back in 91.
Yeah. Really?
Uh-huh. Of course. Oh, yeah. Okay. Jim Cornette speaks his mind.
Oh, this is good.
During a Midnight Express match, he complained they didn't get the proper respect because they actually wrestled. Yes, Bob Holly and Bart Gunn.
Yes. The week before he started the NWA thing, this probably an early episode in January 98, he shot all over me on TV. Basically there's a Yankee in the office and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, right before the NWA stuff. You know, again, this isn't...
What was the stuff where he shot on Hall and Nash?
Yeah, that was late 97.
This is the issue that I had with a lot of guys.
That's what the end result was, was the NWA angle.
That's right.
Four or five rants he did or whatever.
Jim had an opinion of what professional wrestling was still supposed to be in 1999. His opinion...
How about 1998 where we are?
Opinion matters. All that
matters. That explains why he got the Mean Street Posse versus the Stooges mixed up.
Yeah.
He looked up the wrong year when he did his research.
Yeah.
Et cetera,
of course, there was no Nitro on that day.
This was always one of the
he fucked up his research, but he did look it up.
This was his opinion, but it's not about it. But is it okay in a way that he does this as a shoot on the air? Because we're in an era now, we're going towards the Attitude Era, where he may not realize it or not, but he's participating by doing this,
absolutely,
in your brand of wrestling, and not
right, but not only that, what he really doesn't understand is, as more and more and more people are going with this, he's making himself look silly, because with what he's talking about, he's kind of in the minority now. So it's
doesn't mean he's not right.
If it's good TV,
sometimes some of it he's right about, not all of it, but some of it.
What he's right about is the foundation that would sustain it.
Exactly.
Edge debuts June 16th. Following vignettes in his promo arrival, his commentary said all they know about Edge is that he's a tortured soul. So Edge is...
What was his gimmick originally supposed to be?
He's supposed to be Sting.
Yeah.
He's a Sting character.
Originally, and I think even Adam doesn't understand this.
He doesn't.
Originally, remember the girl was doing the voiceover on his vignettes? You heard a female voice.
Okay, yeah.
Originally, he was not... He was almost supposed to be a Tommy character, like not talking. You didn't know if he was a mute. You didn't know what the situation was.
Well, he didn't talk forever.
So that was the idea of bringing
so
in...
the first
that character. Was the idea.
...character, almost like a Tommy-type character that...
A Tommy-type character. Is that Tommy, like, from
and
fucking Pinball Wizard?
Maybe.
Turn him into the character.
That's the only reference I think he could talk
then
about.
With once we had Gangrel and once we had Christian and knowing, that picture of the three of them looking together, that's how it transformed.
Yeah, like that. They were feuding, and then all of a sudden
they were together. It was almost like the writing was bad.
Show cancellations.
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Now, Austin specifically, how dangerous is
we would have known, like, 98 of the canceled house shows.
Because
anybody
have
paid attention?
And you got to pay.
It would have been news at the time, but not.
I guess back then there was an IWC, and we would be part of it.
Oh, an IWC, you say?
Yeah. Unlike now.
Right. Everybody. There's just a C.
In other words, if an Austin gets hurt, it doesn't all come crumbling down. You have so many other strong players in place that if you got to switch out parts for a week or 2 weeks or a month, you can do that. That's the importance of getting everybody on the roster over.
So why'd you cancel shows then?
It says that Vince actually needed to be convinced by his road agents that he should cancel some of the shows to let these guys heal up.
Vince running his guys too hard?
Never see that coming. Relationships with his road agents? Are they his closest confidants?
Well, I'd say not really.
What are these road agents they talk of?
I mean, Pat was always the guy.
What's this road agent they talk of?
What is it? I don't think they must have got rid of those.
Yeah.
Oh, who's next? No. Mankind goes
off
Hell in the Cell.
Those road producers, though.
Yes.
Yes, Mankind throws off the Hell in the Cell. Let's see how he knew about this, even though he didn't.
How this was his idea.
Yeah.
A, what's your reaction backstage?
Horrified. I mean, literally horrified at his well-being.
Is it kind of like a universal gasp in the room when this happens?
Yes.
You guys, like, rush to the curtain, or
no,
you stood out to the TV?
We're right behind the curtain at the moment.
Gorilla position.
When he comes,
or as Monsoon used to call it, the position.
Is he coherent? Is there anything noticeable that he's been not really looking?
I just had him on my show, and I told him this story because he didn't even remember it. I'll never forget. I'm sitting at the gorilla position. They came. They wheeled him back, you know, on a gurney. There was a guy at the WWE.
There was
that,
a guy.
He didn't go back on a gurney.
You know, I
think
don't
he did
even
after
know
the
what
match.
You would call him, but he, you know, he took care of the guys.
Even then, he walked out, didn't he?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Yeah, the French guy was a character with him. So Francois was there on the scene. They're wheeling him back. Francois's over him. I went along. Okay, so now Francois gets him alone in the back room.
Yeah, he does.
It was Mick, Francois, and me.
I don't know if I'd want to be getting alone in the back room with someone named Francois.
Anybody French Canadian, really?
Really?
And I'll never forget, man. His teeth was like through his lip. I mean, he just looked about as bad as anybody could look. Okay. And I'll never forget, I'm worried to death, I don't know if anything's wrong with him, but it's serious, I'll never forget, he looked up at me, and he said, Vince, he goes, was it better than Sean's match?
Actually, this I believe.
That's all he cared about. And I remember my instinct was, you know, like, are you out of your freaking mind? You know, you got two babies at home, what are you, I mean, like, I was, like, hot at him. But that just tells
was
you,
was it better
like,
than
Vince,
Sean's
all
match?
He cared about... Yeah. Was wanting to stop that Taker Shaw match.
Oh.
Was she always planning to do this? No, the second one was an accident. The first spot.
So the one through the cage
was
the accident.
Yeah,
the
one yes,
off the top was planned.
Yes.
And everyone creative knew beforehand.
Well, not creative, because at this point, like when we go to the building, like, you know, we tell them when it finishes. At that point, the talent gets together with the agent and they lay
producer.
Out the match. So when I sit down to watch this match, I don't know what's in the body of this match.
So would it have been Pat?
Well, whoever was the agent
of that match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ken Shamrock wins the King of the Ring.
Oh, that's right. Beat the Rock.
Yes. Because they were feuding.
That's right.
Well, they just finished feuding.
Why was the decision made to go with Ken? Just because, again, listening to the crowd, listening to him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back and looking at some of these shows now, and I'm like, God, why didn't we have Ken and Austin? You know, I mean, how huge would that have been? How good would I wouldn't have
but
been.
But you did it on Raw.
Like, looking at it, I was like,
yep.
How would
the
I
main
have
been Raw right after
me the Stone Cold Stunner?
Ken.
Yeah.
And
tonight,
time,
you will pay.
Because
I hate boys.
Where, I mean, the guy was
that's right.
Yeah. So tonight.
The work in the top of the card. Was there ever any consideration to give him
fuck,
a
that was funny.
Title?
It was right before he joined the corporation, wasn't it?
I don't remember that far back.
No, it was right after
the screen. Like I said, I'm watching the show now, and I'm saying, why didn't we book him with Austin?
Okay.
You know, so like, I don't know.
Mabel won in 1995. I don't think there was a
No. You know, Vince likes his big guys.
What?
You know, and he wanted to get, that's an example of wanting somebody pushed, but they weren't buying it.
Yeah, I'm like, we just listen to the crowd.
Brawl for All begins.
Oh, this should also be good.
Yes.
Here comes some bullshit, folks.
Here comes the bullshit.
Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
This comes
shovel,
from
shovel.
Why I have
shovel, shovel.
ABL to this. Okay, I was in the back. It was me and somebody else, and I don't remember who it was. And JB started carrying on that he could take anybody in the company or in the locker room in a real ball fight.
Who said that?
JBL.
Now, first of all, like, I was...
So, not like they came up with this idea because they thought Steve Williams was going to win and it would get him over so he could take on Steve Austin?
No, not at all.
And it was,
So, all I had to do was sit back and hear him say that he could take anybody in a ball fight. Now, keep in mind, while he's saying this, I know some of the guys in the locker room. And while he's saying this, I'm like, I say to myself, you know what? I'd love to see that. You know? So
you're
sure
a fucking
enough,
idiot.
The next TV
but
session,
he got Vince
Bench,
to go with that.
I pitched it. I said, Vince, I said, listen, I pitched the whole idea of the Brawl for All. You know, let's do this. Guys were bonus if they did it. They got more money. That was the enticement to do it. It was so funny because, like, the first
Shamrock wasn't in it, though.
You know, being in the arena, people thought it was a war. People were like, why are they dimming the lights? Why are they doing this? They thought it was an absolute war. By the time...
Well, the fact that you have a shoot and a work at the same show lets everybody know, oh, by the way, this stuff, not real.
There's
so many problems with this.
People knew it was not a work anymore. And, you know, to see Bart drop JBL... I'm not going to say that was a sad day. I thought it was a great day. I'll never forget this. The Godfather. This is a guy that's the real deal.
Hall of Fame.
This guy will
kill
you. I mean, he's the real deal.
Was it the Bone Skull Crew?
I'll never forget. I mean, literally.
Bone Skull Crew?
That's right.
Hit him so hard, his eyes rolled to the back of. I never in my life saw anybody get hit that hard.
Soul.
Nobody in the world expected any of that from Bart Gunn. Nobody. He wasn't even on anybody's radar.
Right. Is there a faction of wrestlers that are not participating in this that think this is taking up time?
Not really, because they want to see these.
They were marks.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no one opposed the Brawl for All.
No one at all.
Big controversy, too. Huge controversy was Mero, because, you know, Mero wasn't a guy that was liked in the locker room because of Sable. And, you know, he was a Gold Gloves legitimate boxer. Mero was, you know. And he felt that he beat JBL beforehand, and he felt that he got totally screwed out of the victory, you know, because nobody liked him. Right. And he was hot. I mean, he was legitimately hot.
Who were some of the tougher guys in the locker room that didn't participate that you were surprised or you thought maybe?
Peter didn't participate.
Chose not to.
No.
Well, God, man, the entertaining factor at the moment was...
It was all mid-carders.
JR, bless his heart, just spoke to him a week ago, was just...
Well, he probably just did this promo recorder after he was on his podcast.
Yeah.
Making an ass of himself.
Yes.
And like,
he was honest on that podcast, though.
But like, even Vince was like rooting against Dr. Death. Like, everybody was rooting against Dr. Death. And then, of course, you know, he lost.
Even though that's the guy they wanted to win so he could take on Steve Austin.
Yes.
Wide muscle up to it. I mean, a really hideous, horrible injury. Mm-hmm. But I think Severn was with the company at the time, and he didn't participate in this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Did Blackman participate?
Yeah, he actually he's the one that beat Mark Mero.
And then what happened?
To who?
To Blackman.
Who took Blackman out? I don't know.
Maybe, no. He might have pulled out or stumped it for some reason, but Steve Blackman was the real, I mean, just, if he had, like, this much of a personality, and because this much of a, I mean, nothing against him.
He's holding his fingers, like, an eighth of an inch apart,
yeah.
Talking about how much personality Steve Blackman didn't even have, or talking about the size of Triple H's penis. Because
he didn't know how to use it.
Who was your money on?
That's true.
Before that started to go over.
Cheese.
Probably Godfather.
Okay, so Steve Blackman beat Mark Mero, and then Blackman had to bow out. So Mark Mero lost to Bradshaw on points in the second round. Bradshaw beat Henry Godwin.
Yep. Road Dogg made the old
Savio Vega beat Brockus. It was a draw between Drozdov and Hawk. So somehow Drozdov advanced. I don't know how.
Blackface.
Bart Gunn beat Bob Holly. Steve Williams beat Quebecer Pierre. Dan Severn beat the Godfather. And then bowed out, so the Godfather advanced. And Scorpio beat 8-Ball. The problem with the Brawl for All is that... The real problem with the Brawl for All is that there was only one knockout. And that was Steve Williams knocking out Pierre.
Well, they talked about how Godfather got knocked out by Bart Gunn and his eyes rolled back in his head.
Yeah, he did. No. sorry.
That's what he said.
Yeah, he did. He did. Okay. So Bart Gunn then in the second round, though.
Then when they all
Brad Chubby Merrill on points. Drozdov beat Savio Vega on points.
That was a thing.
Bart Gunn knocked out my boy.
Yeah.
You knocked out my boy. And then Godfather beat Scorpio on points. And then in the semifinal, Bradshaw pointed with over Drozdov. And Bart Gunn KO'd Godfather.
Well, yeah.
And then in the final,
Bart
Gunn KO'd Bradshaw.
But I don't think...
So when Bradshaw said he could beat anybody in the locker room, and he's talking about how that's hogwash, he did get to the finals.
Yeah. But he didn't knock anybody out. It's all by points.
Yes. Because they had that takedown.
They had that takedown rule thing. Yeah.
The Mizark written on Xbox shirt.
Oh, he's talking about the bird.
That was all him. That was by design.
We missed him talking about the DX parody.
Ed Ferrara comes on board July of 98.
For the Nation of Domination parody. We missed him.
Oh, yes. We're okay with that.
That's all right.
We've heard it.
This is like
we've heard it from people who weren't lying.
Like people like, oh, Vince, you're so successful at WWE and you were a failure at WCW. Oh, it's because Vince McMahon was the editor and this, that, and the other thing. Okay. Ed Ferrara comes in because, it's just me and Vince running the TV at the time. Cornell was gone. And it was like, I only got
when
the
Leafs traded James Reimer
so
to
I really wanted somebody
San
to
Jose.
I've been waiting for Reimer to get out of there for a long time.
Immediately, he's
and
a
the
he's from Jersey.
Oilers traded Teddy Purcell,
like
but I didn't see
Teddy.
He's the
smartest individual I've ever met in my life. You can't hold me down to really dot eyes and cross T's. He's the detail guy, so immediately, like, I hire him. I told Vince, hire him. Which right there is something that's not in the norm in wrestling, because
yes.
I should have looked at
Vince Russo is great.
As anybody would.
He's a threat.
Yeah.
Are you
going
to have to go again?
But I said no.
What? Stay here.
But I compare that to WCW because when you look at the same set of circumstances, Brad Siegel one day decides, oh, you and Eric Bischoff are going to work together. Meanwhile, Vince Russo was writing the WWE television when we wound up kicking the backsides of WCW. Eric Bischoff loses his job, and I wind up replacing Eric Bischoff. So how Brad Siegel in his mind thought, okay, these two never met, but that's what I mean. People never want to look at the facts. But like, listen, man, whoever can help us make this product better, bring them on board.
Well, yeah.
From
magnanimous.
A responsibility standpoint, how did you two work together? Two people creatively writing music or doing anything might have two different perspectives on things. One might be stronger with this, weaker with this. What was the music you were making with Ed? You want to hear how ridiculous this is? Okay, you look at the product today, and
it's like staying honest.
Yeah,
we've kind of stopped keeping count.
Yeah,
Ed Ferrara would come to my house. We would probably start at about 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. This is when the Jerry Springer show was on fire.
Yeah.
Okay? Ed would come to my house. In Connecticut, Springer was on like three different channels.
Didn't he just say that he went to the offices every day from 8 in the morning to midnight?
Yes.
We would sit there at 10 o'clock. Okay. We would start writing the show. Springer would be on in the background. Okay? We watched Springer till 1 o'clock while we're writing.
Springer is a three-hour show.
No, he said it was on three different channels.
Oh, okay.
One after another.
Ed and I would walk to the mall and eat lunch. By the time we got back, it was 2 o'clock.
I didn't see the influence of Jerry's watching Jerry Springer.
No.
On the television in 1998. That's weird.
We should get a girl with giant boobs.
At that point, we have our show. The next day, we go to Vince's house, and we pitch and lay out our show to Vince.
Yeah. So we watch somebody else's show, steal that stuff, listen to Howard Stern, steal that stuff, and act like we're a creative genius.
Yes. And then we put a Vince.
Yeah.
Who's clueless?
In the world, but
without a single original idea wrong.
Face-to-face, riffing back and forth, respecting each other's ideas, being on the same page with the same goals, and it worked.
Vince obviously begins to see value in him too, you know, and sees you two as a team. You become friends. But tell me one thing that Ed was 100% responsible for that we remember, laugh at, whatever. What was what was an Ed Ferrar creation that you always admired?
Look at him thinking. Yeah. Trying to come up with one.
We really did work on everything together. He was a lot like Vince in the aspect that, like, I would throw something big out there, and then Ed at that point would kind of help, you know, fine-tune it and really create it to what it would become.
Oh, he was just like Vince. That's why that worked so well when he did that in WCW.
Exactly.
My idea, I mean, but that's how we work.
All right, what's this one now? D'Lo Brown wins the European champion, beating Triple H to win the title at 605. Rock would interfere in this.
I love D'Lo, man. I love D'Lo because he was a company guy. He was a hard worker. I loved the gimmick with the chest protector. I mean, I thought that was great.
That was good.
That was good.
He was just always one of my personal favorites. The European title.
Remember when he made a surprise debut? Off TV a couple years ago, and got a huge Shane McMahon type pop.
Yes.
Ah, you wrestled when it was good.
The DX Flasher.
Yes, and then that became a thing.
Yes.
Trying to get girls to flash.
Never. The guys thought when they would come back that they thought it was the greatest thing. It was never. Just something that took off because they'd see it on TV. Because
he did it once.
That's been done at rock concerts. You know, it's not the first time.
But at a wrestling.
But no, absolutely not. But no, it just.
You know, imagine some of the women in 1985 at the Wendy Richter main event.
You're pulling those dogs out.
That was not a
the women were so attractive at the wrestling in 1985.
To do that.
Probably.
Sable's hand bikini.
Oh, yes. The hand on Fully Loaded, I believe.
Yes, where everybody forgets the Jackie flashed her nipple first.
Yes.
And that wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, but Jackie's going into the Hall of Fame first.
Symbol of
true.
The Attitude Era. You're shaking your head now. I'll never forget the story. I think I was sleeping with Sable, and I think Mark knew that. Like I was close friends with Mark. And don't get me wrong. Listen, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to say anything or make rude remarks or anything like that. Maybe you could tell by the look in my eyes. Like every time when I looked at her, she had these eyes. If you looked in her eyes, like you melted. It was that kind of a thing. It wasn't like, oh, I want to do Sable.
Right. No,
he didn't want to do Sable.
It's the day of this big bikini contest, and imagine this.
He just wanted to look in her eyes for hours on end.
Gaze into those
eyes. He comes in
front eyes.
And says, Sable wants to show you her bikini. This is hours before in the locker room. So I'm like, okay. You know, so he brings me to her private locker room, and it's just the three of us there, and she's wearing a white robe. Okay? Can you imagine... She opens up that robe, and that's what I see. Can you, like, what could I possibly say?
Hours beforehand, she would already have it.
Yes.
She just saved it like that for hours and didn't run. She didn't have to.
I was so hot at him doing that for me. I was like, how can you, like, what am I supposed, oh, yeah, you look good, say, but I look, what am I supposed to say? But, oh, my God, when I saw that, I thought I was going to have to. There was something, I know demons have come and gone, and I didn't even see any of Sable's second one. I didn't see any of that. But I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of girls in the business. There was
no, he hasn't.
Hundreds and hundreds?
No, he hasn't.
Was the last time you talked to Rena?
Want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
I wanted her to come work at TNA. Okay?
That is a funny story.
That is a funny story.
And I called her on the
She did not know who I was.
That guy answered.
I said, can I please speak to Rena Mero?
Yeah, who's this? Well, this is, you know, Patrice, I work with TNA, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He puts Ringo on the phone. I laid out this whole spot I have for her at TNA. I'm going to bring her to TNA, this, that, and the other thing. She's excited about it, this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Jarrett's house. So I hang up the phone. I'm ready to now say.
And Brock, you know,
Jeff
says,
called, we need to talk money, whatever the case may be. So all of a sudden, minute. 10 minutes later, freaking Kurt Angle calls me. And he goes, Vince, what did you do? And I'm like, what are you talking about, Kurt? I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? He goes, Brock Lesnar wants to freaking rip your head off. I said, what are you talking? I said, I've never even met Brock Lesnar. He goes, no, you never met Brock Lesnar, but you just talked to him on the phone. You didn't introduce yourself, and then you tell him to put his wife on, you know, put his girlfriend on, I think girlfriend on the phone. He goes, he wants to freaking kill you. He's calling me, asking him.
I don't think this timeline with Angle and Jarrett and Brock and I don't think this timeline.
Shockingly, no.
Doesn't seem to match up to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spend the time piecing it together because it's too much work.
Yes.
But something about this timeline doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
What percentage of Lawler's, like, insane...
But that would be insinuating, though, that he might have told a lie.
Is,
oh, yeah, is don't do that.
Okay.
I think it's all him. It's just all Lawler, man. He's just incredible. Going back and watching those shows now, man, he's just so funny. I go back now, man, because, listen, I was there for the shows. I never really got to watch them.
Right.
When I go back now...
And he's too busy listening to the crowd.
Yes, exactly, and trying to figure out what they want.
Joke, the announcement they have today. It's not even like major... So
when he listened to the crowd at TNA and they chanted Fire Russo,
it's
what do you think he wanted?
Joke, huh. Mastery.
What do you think he figured out what they wanted then?
Those two guys
I think he did. He must have.
Yeah. Asshole.
Godfather came to the ring with three...
Oh, this is the hose, introduction of the hose, and the pimp character.
Who comes up with the Godfather and says this is the right thing for Charles?
I think it was more Vince than me. Like, I don't think the Godfather was like a character that I came up with. It either came from Vince or it came from a conversation that Charles had with Vince. But that it did not, I mean, that was not one of my things.
Well, he started to merge into that character because that's who he really was. Before he actually ever brought up the girls.
Yes, that's true.
I think that was
Stephen Barney's?
No. I actually think that was
Charles.
Yes.
Through his connections in Vegas.
Yes.
When you go city to city, what's the process for finding the girls? Is this something also that gets handed to Kevin Dunn?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So they have casting people, I guess.
Sure, you enjoyed
that.
You
got to see, man, there's one show early on, you got to see. I popped huge. Sean's in the... remember when Sean popped out of the casket?
No.
As he's supposed to, you thought it was Taker, right?
Yes.
And Sean
popped
out. You know what I'm talking about?
I thought they were thinking it was Sean X-Pop there.
Sean was supposed to pop out of the casket with two hot chicks. Okay. He goes in the ring and he cuts a promo and he basically says, I was supposed to pop out of casket with two asses, but they were absolute dogs and I refused to do it. Which I thought was just brilliant, you know, and absolutely hysterical. First of all, nobody but Sean would have turned that down. You know, second of all, to go out and literally call these girls dogs was just...
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do.
That's awesome, yeah.
Any
crazy stories what happened to these women backstage? I can't imagine.
Not that I stuck my nose in, man. Trust me, I stayed far away from that.
Who might have been, if anybody had any proclivity to do so, who might have been the one that pursued the hoes the most in the locker room?
Well, the girls
Mark Henry?
I think they would have been up for grabs, to be honest with you.
Literally.
The girls that were the party with the guys in WCW were the High Tropic girls.
Oh, yes. July 27th, Sunday Night Heat debuts.
Does he get a raise because he's writing an extra show now?
I think he would.
Clearly, we need another hour of television for you to write.
Wow. Wow.
How does it come about?
Detroit Red Wings traded Jakob Kindle to Florida.
It was so
Teddy Purcell went to Florida as well.
Florida is loading up.
So, yeah.
More money. And that was really the
And they got Reimer?
San Jose
got
Reimer.
It wasn't like a focus show.
Didn't they get someone from the Leafs earlier?
But when I mean, that was a whole of the story, and that was pretty
I hope they don't screw up their chemistry, because they had good chemistry already.
Yeah.
It's tough to write a one-hour episodic television for a year, I mean, 26 weeks, and keep people coming back. Now, you got to do 52 weeks, and...
Yeah, but see, a one-hour television show actually has the right sequences, and action sequences, and dialogue. So whereas a wrestling show, you can go, have a 20-minute match, give it over to the agents.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, literally, I mean, we gave everything...
All you really need is... About eight to ten stories going on at once.
Yeah,
and some bullet points.
Well, it's pay per views, right? To hit. Okay, we need this match, angle to angle.
Exactly.
Here we go, Shane O'Mac.
How was Shane treated by the other wrestlers? Did they respect him, or did they seem as the here's another great story. His first match was against X-Pac. I don't know if you're going to get into that soon, but the thing was. He showed up at the...
That's in 99. We're not going to talk about that at all, you dumb fuck.
Six-page match written out for his first match of Shane.
Randy Savage styles.
Yeah, and he gave it to Shawn. So, you know, that got around the locker room in a hurry. However, when he went out there and performed that match, he came in the back and people were like, holy... And it wasn't because it was Vince's kid. It was holy... crap. So, it did not take him a long time to earn respect.
He was such a good wrestler.
Tiger Ali Singh returned.
Oh, yeah! The Million Dollar Man, basically. Million Dollar Singh. That's right.
Until Babu got arrested or fired.
With Tiger Ali Singh, first of all, I liked him. He was a nice guy. He looked great. There was some like issues on a management level.
They paid him a shitload.
They really did, because his father was a big star.
There was something going on talent relation-wise that never really allowed us.
Because they paid him in 90, they signed him in 97.
That's right. There was something.
They were looking for a big star in India.
Choppy Choppy PP. Great gimmick.
That's classic.
Is there a part of you that maybe when you're watching on the monitor that goes...
These are the things that people want me to apologize for. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me, Choppy Choppy? I'm going to apologize for that. That's classic.
You had called it classic right before.
It is classic.
I'm laughing right now, 54 years old.
It's classically awful.
Where did you find... let me read Phil Mushnick's review in the New York Post.
This would be great.
Of this. While there's no longer room for boxing on USA, the network recently added an hour of WWF programming at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Family viewing hour. Recently, WWF on USA provided its youthful live TV audience with a castration angle, the details of which I cannot come close to printing.
Come on! It wasn't that fast.
Castration angle. First of all, where did you find
Mrs. Young? Proud.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? Somebody,
be honest with me.
I was doing one of my podcasts the other day, and somebody was putting over how gorgeous this girl was. I didn't even remember the character at all.
Really. Mrs. Yamaguchi-san.
I don't remember her at all either.
Mushnick is a name you're going to see a lot in the future with writing and being very critical of Vince. Is Vince pretty vocal of his hatred of Phil Mushnick?
Man, I gotta tell you, back in
why
the day,
he was
like,
making fun of money.
We weren't even allowed to talk about the internet wrestling community, the dirt sheets, or anything. All this time when I was writing all this, I never, ever, ever looked at a dirt sheet.
Well, New York.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah. But
that's the biggest lie he's ever told.
It was the steroid trial, and it was like.
Well, he's also said that he's.
I don't think.
He's also contradicted his ECW watching that he was dead.
Yeah, 2 minutes later.
Okay, which one's this now?
John Wayne Bobbitt saves Val Venus
from the Choppy Choppy, yes.
Yes.
Your idea to bring in John Wayne?
Yeah.
How is he?
He's cool.
He's fine, yeah. Did you see the film he made? Where he did it with did a porno with a reattached penis. Right. You didn't have to do that for research?
No.
That was years before. What, you didn't have any videos to look at.
So what did Mushmick say about popping anything?
You know what? I don't I do know that Venus reveals that his full package is intact thanks to Bobbitt, who cut the lights out at the right time. He was standing at attention, cock rocked and ready to unload. There you go, for anyone. The double entendre hitting you over the head with a bat is completely
subtle. Subtle.
It hit you over the head because you're a retard.
Gangrel debuts.
Gangrel.
Gangrel debuts.
The character of Gangrel comes from.
Wow.
There's a whole history to it. There is.
I didn't realize he debuted that much later than Edge.
I know, that's what I was thinking too.
I somehow thought he was there a little before Edge.
No. We did it and then it evolved. I think he had the teeth gimmick though. I think his teeth were obviously, it's always vampire.
But
he was vampire warrior in the '80s.
Yeah.
That was just all part of the character. Just theatrical.
I'd like to ask him why the name Gangrel and why it was important, because they had to pay someone for the name.
That's right, because there was a card company or something like that that had a character.
Yeah, it's like Grey Wolf Media or something. Yeah. It always had to have the little copyright, like Hogan in Marvel Comics, right?
That's right, yeah.
And it was just for Gangrel, for fuck's sakes.
My friend, a good friend of mine, Jimmy Monsies, was Shane's right-hand man
in that position. In what ways is Shane like Vincent?
Yeah, would they call him the rat or something?
This is actually relevant now.
Workaholic.
How is Shane like Vince?
His dad, but definitely a lot more personable.
Yeah.
Well, this is pretty much all true.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know what the story is and what happened. Obviously, it looks like they had to. But, man, I loved Shane McMahon. When I was going to go back there in 2002, they weren't using him on TV at all, which I could never understand. He personally met with me the morning that I was there and was excited about, you know, me coming back to the company. I loved working with him, man. He was so good.
They should bring him back now. Yeah. Triple H wins the Intercontinental.
And put him in a main event of Mania.
Oh yeah, Triple H wins the Intercontinental title. It isn't a show stealer, but it was a ladder match, and it was not a show stealer.
It was a good match.
It was
because the guys were over. The Rock was over as a babyface, even though he's a heel.
Yes.
The top of the card, two top of the card guys.
But it wasn't a show stealer because the main event rocked.
Exactly.
Taker and
Austin. Also important. This match was 10 minutes past the allotted time because it was so hot.
The leg drop to the table.
Oh yeah,
spot. That'd be legendary forever.
What can be done in a situation like this? Is it if the talent is not being cooperative for whatever reason, but you are on a timed schedule,
they're going to get chewed out in the back. But most importantly, whoever's match is going to be cut is going to be hot.
Because anytime they're taking from somewhere
and
else.
And that's really, you know, that's, you just don't do that.
That's right. Then Billy Kidman has to retime the whole thing.
That's right.
I mean, he's not good at math.
Bruce could work under pressure. I mean, no doubt about it. He was good at
math. Back then it was,
Of course, what used to be his nickname in the Filthy Animals was Filthy Pet.
The Hardys get their break. They defeat Men's Tail and Shofunaki. On Sunday Night Heat, apparently, this is them getting their break.
Vince,
it's a start.
No, because they didn't get their break doing that.
No.
They got their break beating Too Cool, or Too Much. That was the feud, Too Much against the Hardys.
Yeah, though I'll say they didn't really get their break until Tit.
Yes.
Yeah. It was the Terry Invitational Tournament. Don't look at me like that, B.
Tit.
That was the name of it.
On them at this point.
A year and a half.
I didn't write it.
A year and a half after.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and really. I wasn't the guy that judged the wrestling ability. Okay, if they were on a show and they were in the ring, I would.
He knew a star.
Everybody did their job.
He saw a star
because they deserved to be in the ring. But I thought that they had been around long enough, like in that jobber role. You know, that it was now, you know, time to do something with
them. Yeah. Now you can break out. We've established them as jobbers.
Yeah.
Now we can break them out.
ratings or crowd, something doesn't work.
No, he didn't say
what
no.
did work about these guys that allowed them to go from
they were cool to this day.
I don't know if there's anybody that's ever looked any cooler than Jeff Hardy. So they just really had that young, what? Cool, youthful look.
Yeah. He does look cool when he's breaking his leg.
Austin on his Zamboni, September 28th. We just watched the Raw after this, before.
That's right, so that'll be next.
Bedpan McMahon.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing that you never see anymore, Sean.
What was a better moment? The Austin Zamboni or the Bedpan?
Bedpan.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
Austin Zamboni was great.
It was, but Bedpan was better.
Beer Truck was better than both.
Sit there and rehash wrestling angles because they've all been done. It's so easy to steal off of what's been done in the past. We made a concerted effort to show them something they had never seen before. So,
like, you know, a reverse battle royal.
Perfect for Austin, driving the Zamboni into the arena. That was new. Nobody's ever seen.
He was able to manipulate it.
He beat up I remember on the way to the ring, he took down.
He didn't get emasculated by Stephanie.
But was I guess he was shown.
It's too bad. That would have been real money.
How to drive the boss. Here's another classic. Vince Austin will play for the next 30 years in highlight clips. Who's the MVP of that feud?
Oh, shit.
He'll say Vince.
Everyone contributes, but there's one MVP that goes out at the end of the Super Bowl. I think it was Vince.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Vince was great, but it was Austin.
Everything. You know, as a performer, Vince gave...
The only reason I can't... I mean, again, it would be like the Royal Rumble 94. I have to say they were co-winners.
Yeah.
Bedpan McMahon, here we go.
Mr. Socko debuts.
Should add that this was a taped show.
That's right.
When we were talking before and we said, did you ask the question? 1998. First thing that comes to mind in wrestling. Everybody got asked. A lot of people said the Bedpan. So take me inside the creation of this vignette.
Here's the thing, man. This is what I get upset with.
And Mr. Socko debuts here, too.
I wish that was my idea. That wasn't. Here's what I get upset with. Okay, everybody, listen, there are people that, for whatever reason, want to take credit away from me. Vince was an editor. The talent was so great, this and that. So just want to strip me of everything. Here's what people don't understand. And here's where the pressure came in. The talent was so great. It was an all-star lineup from top to bottom. Okay? Somebody had to give them material on a weekly basis. What I compare it to is, how does a guy like...
But the talent was great, and so they can elevate any material at this point.
Yes.
If the talent isn't great, like WCW by the time he got there, and you give them the same material, they can't elevate it. So is that you, or is that them? That's them, Vince.
Yeah,
and Russo, you fuck.
Exactly.
Did he hear me? Did he hear that?
He heard it.
Somebody had to feed them the material on a weekly basis. So
he already said that.
Just the idea ahead of knowing if we put Austin and Vince in a hospital room, okay, just put them in that setting, we know that they're going to do the rest. But somebody's got to put them in the setting. Somebody's got to come up with that material to give them. And that's the thing with us. You know, we never wanted, we didn't even dream of ever, making the talent look bad. I remember a month ago, I was watching a match, and it was Bray Wyatt, and it was Luke. And Luke was in the match against Roman Reigns. And I remember, Dean Ambrose is at the announce desk, and Dean Ambrose flails one of those roly nice announce chairs to Bray Wyatt. So now, Ambrose is at the announce desk. Bray Wyatt is sitting on the outside in an announcer's chair watching the match. Okay, right in front of Bray Wyatt's face. Okay, Roman Reigns pins Luke Harper 1-2-3. Bray Wyatt never leaves the chair. Okay? You've just totally buried that character, Bray. Never in a million years would that guy have sat there and watched a pinfall. So we were
painful. You mean like on Fastlane?
Yeah.
When he sat there in the roly comfy chair instead of the rocking chair that the producer had. And we had a whole conversation about it.
Yes.
Neither would have Vince McMahon. Neither would have Shawn Michaels.
And then they lost, and we said, "Why didn't Bray get involved?" Yeah. I believe that was the producer thing. Why didn't Bray get involved?
Why is he just sitting there?
Yes.
The next week he's fighting Dean Ambrose by himself because he doesn't need anybody. There is absolutely no consistency whatsoever. That's why
this is from Vince Russo, and he's actually right.
Yeah,
as part of this, the fourth.
You know,
Vince Russo had no consistency from minute to minute in the show. He's right about this.
The creative is bad. You know, the creative is bad. When Vince Russo can point out flaws and is correct.
Yes, that's really bad creative.
Yes.
Steve Austin, if something stunk, he would say something because his attitude was,
yeah,
go ahead and try to.
We want to put you in the ring with Jeff Jarrett.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, son.
Good enough that they had to come. Shawn, I saw Shawn Michaels tell
God damn, son, why would I do that?
Right to his face. I sat there and I witnessed it. Because Shawn was, okay, replace me with who?
The Jim Knight heard it never be.
The talent today
that
is working just as hard
it's
as
true.
The talent did back here. The problem is the writing is not as good.
It's like the edge in there. It's like now he's good enough he can take on The Undertaker.
Fear of losing their spot. That's why you get the product that you get on TV. Back in this day, we wanted people to speak up. It was a group effort.
It's true.
If you could come up with something that was
they weren't on eggshells like they are now.
So Steve could come over and say, absolutely.
Well, they all
you guys will work it out. Absolutely.
Crash Holly could.
Yeah.
The ICP get in the ring. Yes, that's right. Just watch that, too.
That's right. 140 pounds, Shaggy, too.
Oh, dope and violent Jay.
Yeah.
They were just nuts. I mean, I love these guys. I mean, I really did. I enjoyed working with them, but they were on the verge of uncontrollable. I think they told us that there was a cross-promotional deal that was in place with the record company and WWE where they'd get some promotion for the songs or the videos or something. And
sure there was.
WWE wasn't making good on it, and that's why they left. True, not true, or unaware.
I think that actually is true.
That makes sense.
Because it came from them, not him.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a better
Austin
chance.
Austin buries the Corvette
in cement. That's right.
So here we go again. Like, I mean, as much as you want to say with Russo is that every week there's something memorable.
There is a memorable, yeah.
The first is Zamboni. Now the Corvette. Again, we're
oh, Minsk, though, you burn it up. And then you don't have the list. You still have the foundation.
That's right.
Holy
that's
shit, is it snowing out there?
That's what we talk. Well, we're doing a show.
Destroy.
Yeah, I think it's rain, really. It's like it's snow that's like melting right away.
Are they destroying a new Corvette?
Well, it wasn't a new Corvette.
It is February.
I suppose. Since it was like 18 degrees 2 days ago.
Yeah.
18 degrees Celsius, which is what, like 65?
Oh, God, no, like 70? 75, probably.
75, yeah.
I also get the, well, Vince, if
it was nice and warm.
So great, if you were so great, and Vince wasn't the filter in all this, then why didn't you achieve those same numbers at TNA? And I try to educate those people and explain
oh, please educate
to them
us
how important budget is. And that's why when people say, where's the best
but when you don't have that, if you don't have the talent to adjust,
yes,
then that's your lack of talent.
No,
exactly.
I mean, if you have an unlimited budget,
that's what he's saying.
And you get over, oh wait, WCW.
Yeah.
Well, Tara had the spider, and she had the spider for a couple of weeks. Well, then the handler of the spider got paid $200 to come to Orlando with the spider.
What?
After about 4 weeks, TNA could not afford to pay the $200.
This, I believe, is true.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did you hear Dixie's out in LA looking for investors?
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
It doesn't matter. You know,
anybody who invests in that is the new biggest mark of all time.
That's right.
The question is, is there enough value in the company that if they sold it to somebody for, I don't know, let's say a dollar,
and just
outside of the outside of Vince getting the library from like AJ Styles and Sting,
right?
Is there any value to anybody else buying it?
You're knowing, no, they can't do that. No, they can't do that.
But it'd be great if he did. If he got that library,
yeah,
for the network, Sting and AJ and Joe and all that shit.
Kurt Angle,
yeah. Be awesome.
James Storm,
probably see that coming. It's what? How many months away?
IC title tournament. The Blue Blazer returns.
I believe
October 12th.
I believe that's the first mention of Owen. I believe that by
we want to hear what he's
saying. I know, but I believe by the end of this year, WWE owns that library.
Yeah, can see it
for a dollar.
This seems like
I'm waiting to see when.
Now maybe a little more.
Not when first run Impact gets to 80,000 viewers.
Well, Owen was
50 cents.
Well, he was the Blue Blazer first. I can tell you honestly, man. Going back and watching these shows now,
here comes the man.
Even me as the writer, I could not.
Shane could take you over.
Shane could take over TNA, yeah.
The badass character that we tried to make on playing off of Brett Lesnar, I never could take him seriously as that badass character. Maybe it's because when you knew Owen, you just knew that wasn't him, and it was really hard to believe. But even when I go back and I watch the shows now,
that is true.
Owen did not make a good badass.
I'm watching them. Not a good badass. I will never buy that Owen.
Good bad guy.
Tough guy. Now the Blue Blazer, and you know, we turned it into a little bit of a comedy gimmick. That's who Owen was in the back. You know, he was always pranking everybody. That's true. He was always smiling. He was always like, I think the highlight of his day was, you know, just who are we going to rip today?
Yeah, talk about, hey, we want you to bang Deborah, so, you know, and him turning it down and become the Blue Blazer.
Was
yeah.
much more fitting and believable.
Yeah.
Holy
cow. That's your punishment for not doing this angle?
No, they're not going to go Deborah. There. The Nation
Of course
explodes.
Not, they're not going to go there, because that would be him telling the truth.
Oh, yeah. D'Lo and Mark Henry turn on The Rock. Great.
Yeah. And it's a swerve for later on.
Why does it take so long to get The Rock Here. Out of that? He's kind of broken out many months before this.
Yeah, it's coming down pretty heavy, actually.
Yeah, just maybe it's melting. But it is melting.
Yeah, well, that's good, because otherwise you might have to shovel your driveway.
I don't know.
The store was, like, still working. And, like, it was
never
it was
fucking
shoveled
like
that
thing.
Everybody knew it was
yeah, but look, funny. Is there any snow on it right now?
Is he warm for weeks?
And then again, you're also...
Oh, see, it must have done something right, because it's all gone.
He's out of that group. What's going to happen in the group? You know what I mean? It's not going to be the same without Rock in it. So we probably tried to milk it as long as we could.
And 316 says Vince just pinced his pants.
There's another great moment.
That's another moment you remember. And another moment where the babyface gets over on the heel and doesn't get emasculated.
That's right. Come up with Vince.
But the heel is an authority figure.
Vince has this
thing,
man, and everybody knows
Vince? No, not an authority figure at all.
In the wrestling bit. He loves potty humor, man. I don't know what it is about
that,
but, you know.
That's a shoot.
Yes, well.
He farting. He gets off on this stuff. That was 100%.
Gets off on farting, huh?
We talked about Vince's ego before, but he's ego-less enough to be seen with the piss. Right now. Well, you know what? Because back in the day, look at it. He did whatever was best for business. Like, that was a shoot. If it was best for business, he did it. They say that today, but they don't do what's best for business.
He
pissed
his pants?
Yeah.
On October 19th at Heenan.
Yeah, he just let it go. He really did. It's just easier.
And perform.
She just pissed his pants.
I think
it was good for business.
Did a deal with WWE.
It was a test debut.
Record company level? Record company to WWE.
Yeah. And I can remember that. The thing I remember most about that was like Sean Waltman was a huge Motley Crue mark. And like that was the greatest day of his life. And it made me happy that he was able to experience that, but I'll never forget.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's how he debuted, their bodyguard.
Yeah.
Motley Crue. Because Motley Crue was such big... Because
he was the one that was the roadie that went test, test, test.
That's right.
Mankind and Al Snow team up.
What do you think of the pairing as a comedy team?
Too much Al Snow on this.
They'll never
be better. In other words, there's some Al Snow on this.
Yes.
For something like this, how much is written and how much of their
evidence? Yeah, that's right. It's his fucking fault. It's snowing outside.
Oh, yeah.
You're giving him an outline.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad on the podcast at all there, Willie. Shake your head again.
See, that's the thing. Like, you know, you watch the show today, and you can see everybody has a script that is memorized. You don't write people a year and a half snow what to say. You have to be an idiot.
You know?
So you give them the framework of this is what we need to be accomplished, and then they would go out and do it.
It's true, bullet points, I'll give them that. Austin emergency meeting at Titan Towers.
Oh yeah, that was great. Oh, they called Vince past
there
the
was a
yeah, because he was upset over what Russo was booking for him.
I don't know if it was this time. I remember I was there. You know, I have a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie being offered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was a Nash Bridges thing, but I remember when Nash Bridges came along and Steve was in Nash Bridges and Steve, you know, got the taste of Hollywood and acting. And remember, Steve had suffered some tough injuries. You know, so now all of a sudden he's in demand, he's making a lot of money acting. And I remember there
was not a demand of making a lot of money acting yet.
He wanted to go down that road and he was trying to get out of his WWE contract. I think he's full of shit.
Well, don't let the PS4 enter wrestling.
Ah, you know what? I might be able to
make
just as much money doing something that's going to have less of an impact on my life. Was anything that you were planning for him, did it justify?
What are you doing there? That's all you need to do?
I don't think so. Yeah. And like the part about like, you know, Vince felt he needed to humble. I don't think any of that is true.
So
in other words, he's
is.
Talking about what he's...
Yes. Yeah. Mankind becomes hardcore champion.
They didn't mention where that title came from, though. Where it was smashed.
Why'd you guys hate a hardcore title? Is this a nod to ECW? This is just another thing that...
Actually, I think it's
about wrestling that people just don't want to...
It's just a rib on Mick, isn't it?
Yeah.
You watch the product today. There are wrestling matches that go through two commercial breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I'm not a wrestling fan, I'm not watching that. The reason for...
Yeah, but all this watching is wrestling fans.
The reason for the amount of gimmick matches is designed for the casual fan.
And it worked in TNA so well.
Oh, yeah.
In WCW, it worked so well.
However...
You're an idiot.
If I'm flipping through the channel...
It's about making the wrestling matches seem good and highlighting the good athletes and putting them in the ring and letting them up. Good action, good matches.
Say what?
Anything that is going to stop me dead in my tracks, we're going to...
Because once you've seen that once, it's useless the second time.
Yes.
Whereas a good wrestling match is always going to be a good wrestling match.
That's why
you're an idiot,
spectacles,
Vince.
Because
Russo,
I might not care about wrestling,
dumbass,
but...
Motherfucker.
That lunatic's climbing up a ladder and the other guy's hitting him with a garbage pan.
Cock
to crack. Give them the
no load.
It, that wasn't just a straightforward two guys in
no
a
load.
And
you heard me. I called him a no load.
That's really
okay. No load pencil dick.
Mm-hmm. The belt had a very cool design. It's not kind of cracked and pieces.
The champion.
Who does that aspect of work for the company? That would have been
his penis?
Richie Curtis.
Probably purple. Or his load.
Jesse Ventura is elected governor.
So white.
He is Italian.
He's Italian?
Yeah, Russo?
Oh, yeah.
Reaction from Vince?
What are you talking about? Ventura? Also, I believe, Italian.
Yes.
One of my favorite pizzas is
Italian pizza?
Italian pizza.
Hey, you better fucking be getting... How long is he staying? Is he staying for the day?
Yeah, as well, so... He's coming back. You're staying overnight, too.
You better be ordering pizza for something. Because ever since I got here, that's all this fucking kid's talked about. Fucking pizza. We got McDonald's for lunch, and on the way to McDonald's, he's going, is Pizza Hut open?
Yeah.
He used to get Pat on all the time. He used to get on Patterson all the time because Pat was smoking. He used to get Pat. Pat would never smoke around him, but just.
Then I won't lie to you for sure now. I'm definitely getting myself pizza for supper.
But I'll never forget, man,
you put it in my head now.
The mayor of Minnesota, governor of Minnesota.
I think you ought to order Chinese just to fuck with him.
Yeah.
Okay, and the entire night backstage, he had a cigar this
big. Oh, you like wontons, don't you?
Blowing the smoke directly in Vince's face. I mean, just like, you know, all those years, and I'm the governor now, and like, what are you going to do about it? And just the look on Ventura's face was just absolutely priceless.
Is Vince selling?
No, he wasn't selling, but he didn't say anything either. He didn't say anything. He let the governor smoke.
Once he's elected, the wheels have to start turning over at Titan Tower. How to, like, whatever problems they had before. It's too big now not to put aside. What are early plans?
There really are, because again, that would have been something that would have been going on Vince's end, and then basically
not on Vince's end.
Got the call,
but on Vince's end, yeah,
Jesse, and he's going to be on the show. So I mean, there weren't any plans in motion until we knew that we had.
Oh,
Rock wins the WWE title Survivor Series. Fucking November. Awful event. Awful.
Thanks to you, Russo.
That was the greatest piece of wrestling writing in history of wrestling.
No, it was. It was awful.
I had worked so long on this storyline, and it was so thorough, and it was so.
It was a good swerve. The swerve at the end.
Yeah.
Was good.
It was a long.
But the event itself, fucking terrible.
I'll never forget that night in the arena. Knew it worked because so, let me put it here. Like
he watched Jerry Springer for 2 hours.
Three hours is too damn long for Jerry Springer.
And here's the funny thing, along the way, if you remember,
that and listening to Howard Stern. Did those two things, and then watched some ECW, and then turned that into a wrestling show and gave himself credit.
Okay.
It's an asshole.
But then, like, yeah, the people's elbow was so old with that when Rock did it, was like, But, like, me and Ed were like, exactly. So, like, it worked that day. Was still working. But the fact that he dropped the people, like, so that's why when he did the turn, they couldn't believe it.
It wouldn't be a tombstone. It wouldn't be able to work.
But then, like, after 3 seconds, when it sunk in, that was the best thing I ever did in my entire career.
Was The Rock a better heel or babyface?
Babyface.
The fact that he has to think about it means he's an idiot.
That's such a hard question, because I don't consider him either a heel or a babyface. I consider him The Rock. See, I mean, when we wrote the TV, and
good
he
point.
Wasn't different today.
What an
too.
Idiot.
We didn't.
Look, the point, the fact that when he became a heel, he couldn't stay it,
they
just, no matter what you do, he's going to get cheered eventually, that means he's a better babyface.
Yes.
As long as they're reacting
and
to you.
If you want to be pushing somebody as a babyface, and they're constantly booed.
Immediately, I don't think of Rock as a
guess what that means, Roman Reigns.
I think of him as The Rock. Because depending on who's looking at him, you can either cheer him or you can...
What does that mean?
We'll see at his best.
Well, the Roman Reigns should be a heel.
Heel?
Heel.
What does that mean?
Oh, heel, it means, it's like a...
He should be a bad
guy. Bad guy. If you're a heel,
Draws pushes Hawk off the Titan.
Yeah.
Well,
is
awesome.
It true that he doesn't like this angle? If he doesn't like the angle, I mean, that's news to me because he did not tell me he did not like the angle. Who came up with the idea of the fall? I think it was how do you propose this thing? It's got to be delicate.
Well, I think it should happen at WrestleMania.
What should happen at WrestleMania?
Roman Reigns joins the corporation.
I think Roman Reigns should join the corporation at the WrestleMania. And then the Ministry of Darkness and the corporation can eventually become the corporate ministry.
That
well, that's going to happen anyway when Shane and Undertaker do the finger poke of doom.
Now,
yeah.
You're seeing it so sober that maybe like
that's money. What we could pull through, even if you say, oh my God.
And Stephanie will get over and all of them by emasculating them.
A lot
yes.
of times it was yes. that.
Get out of my ring.
I remember once with...
You don't know what the word emasculate means?
Have a...
Addy, why don't you emasculate him right now?
At the time...
You're stupid.
he had become like clean and sober.
And that's what it means.
To cut a promo on that,
I'm going
to
do it now.
You're masculine.
You're worthless.
You're worthless.
That is masculine.
Once you go out in front of people and say, well,
it's basically,
I have a problem, but I'm
if you take somebody
that,
and
you
insult you them and you tell them they can't,
before you
they can't do something to you, and then it turns out that they can't.
And
like
and
if you say, get out of my ring because there's nothing you can do about it, and then they get out of the ring without doing anything about it.
That's
how I was able to now they look like
the
pussies.
Reality of the situation.
Oh, okay.
You know, we can discuss it, we can handle
You've
it,
been...
but in the back of my mind, I was hoping it wasn't. Listen, I'll be out. I've never...
Or in other words, it's Stephanie McMahon's gimmick.
Publicly. And
okay.
I don't know if it was before this, or I don't know
so,
if it was
get
after, but
ring
I'll never forget this as long as I live.
Well, but she wouldn't say... It's more like Dean Ambrose would get in his face and say, I'm ready to take on whoever you put in the ring against me. And she'd say, I'm not going to put anybody in the ring against you because you're not good enough to be in my ring. Get out of my ring! And he looks at her and goes, and doesn't say anything and just walks out. Then he looks like a pussy. That's being emasculated. Taking away your masculinity.
Oh, okay.
And he was totally out and foaming at me.
I need to drink my water.
And I remember seeing this and like I was, I knew like this.
Drinking your water?
Going to turn out.
That's
now I
you're
to be honest with
a
you,
pussy. Drinking
I'm
your water.
This was
now you don't say anything.
That.
You just got emasculated.
Like that, and then done the same. Absolutely not. I mean, and probably
what?
I was probably so naive.
I am the eighth wonder of the world. I got Andre's shirt on. Of course, it is not a very good picture of Andre. What was it you called it again, Addy?
I said it looked like Andre the Giant fucked Miss Piggy.
Was as serious as they were.
It's not a very good picture.
But
it was free on Black Friday from Pro Wrestling Tees. Pro Wrestling Tees and Barbershop Windows still my favorite place to go and get clothes.
Is that in February? Shawn Michaels is named the new commissioner.
Oh, that's right.
What is Black Friday? That's in February, right?
Yeah, no, it's
yeah.
not. No,
you,
you
know,
think. It would make sense. It's
the
day after Thanksgiving.
This was after WrestleMania. And Vince and Shawn did not make up after that WrestleMania.
It's African American Friday.
So Shawn
right.
went away, you know,
in February.
His back injury and all that. And I remember,
oh,
you know,
God.
Proposing to Vince.
Oh, it's nothing bad, but.
We need to bring Shawn back.
Don't say anything bad. Remember, this is a podcast. People will hear
it.
They don't want you knowing you're racist.
It was.
Even if you are. No.
Right.
No, you're
and
not.
Even
that's
though
Addy.
I could have told you first
yeah,
hand
Mo.
That yes, Kane in the backside to work with, you still sucked it up because he was that good and it was best for business.
He sucked it up?
So
it's best for business.
Yeah, he's
he sucked it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's talking about
something
how he got his job by sucking
like
up to Vince McMahon's ass.
I believe, I can't remember exactly.
Well, actually,
what,
he
had
a back
injury. One
second,
day,
yeah.
Shawn was not booked for. He was booked for the second one. Mm-hmm. There was a mistake made in travel, whatever the case may be. They flew him in the first day. He was at the building, and then somebody told him he wasn't on the show. I remember him coming after.
Talking about Shawn Michaels?
And
yeah.
I mean, literally threatening me and, like, mm-hmm. cut a scathing. Promo on me. I remember I
in real life, they're not called promos
said,
because
something about John because I mean,
he's not actually
really
selling
like,
it to
I
anybody.
I mean, it was like no wrestler had ever really spoken to me before, and it was like there was a threat, and I was shaking. I'm like, bro, you need to do something. And I remember Vince turned around to me. He goes, I need to do something. You were the one that talked me into bringing them back. He goes, you do something. You know what I'm saying? So, and he was right because I went to bat for Sean. So, like, just based on that experience, obviously, wounds hadn't healed,
so
and that's probably why.
Stop. Yeah, I wonder if he's going to talk about Al Snow again.
Probably.
Undertaker attempts to embalm the Undertaker.
Or Austin, alive, you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Or Undertaker, yeah, attempts to embalm Austin.
Okay. Yeah.
This is an extreme example. I mean, this is going as far away from the wrestling ring as you can.
Jeez.
This you and Ed?
Yeah.
What were the specifics, though?
Yeah.
Explain this shit to me.
Explain what I did.
Boston into the embalming room of a mortuary, pallbearer puts on plastic gloves and plastic gown.
This isn't the symbol.
Preparation. Austin shown lying on the table.
Was that in 98 or 99?
Pair of scissors.
Yeah, it might have been in 99.
Taker begins chanting in tongues. Slowly raises a large dagger like.
Either way, it's very satanic.
Lower the knife. Kane barges in.
And meanwhile, in real life, the Undertaker at this point was becoming a Christian.
And stops him in the fall.
Yes,
and I'm comfortable with all this shit.
Sounds like a good Batman 66 episode, doesn't it?
The shark repellent almost came
exactly
here. Where's the shot?
What do you mean?
Where do you shoot? Where's the mortuary?
We probably went to a mortuary.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that's where we shot it. You gotta understand, we're so hot. That, like,
we can do whatever we want to do with the WWE.
Stephanie McMahon's TV debut.
Ah. I don't remember that she debuted without being named.
When she first comes in.
Just running into Steve
is
Austin.
Is she ever someone that you think could inherit this?
Yeah, no.
21 years old.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I'm sure her instinct was at that point in time.
Did she originally?
Steve Austin asked her if she's seen The Undertaker.
Did she want?
She says no. That's her debut. But I'm sure her instinct was to go. No, now get out of my building.
You know, he taught the kids like every aspect of the business.
Here's the other thing. They just talked about how in November.
Yeah,
this is November now.
Yeah.
So let me just look this up.
Right.
We're looking up.
Oh, here, okay. Let me just make sure I'll.
I think that was
that's what he said. Understand. Goodbye, Stephanie.
Where to, Stephanie?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with them being in the spot that they're in.
Okay, so.
She.
In 1998, she would be.
21.
We all know ourselves.
Well, no, she would actually be 22 at this point.
Okay.
I was a guy.
So that's them getting that facts wrong. Whatever.
That's them. So I'm just trying to figure that out here. So
I knew what I was doing.
Her birthday's in September.
I never tried to do anything else because I.
So she's really 21 then.
I firmly believe.
No, maybe 22. Probably 22. Just terms.
That's when we get ourselves in trouble.
Does it matter?
Yes, I'm just figuring this out.
I worked with an Eric Bischoff.
Why does it matter?
Just wait. First year is 19.
Eric Bischoff is a phenomenal businessman. I suck at business. I've put some of my own businesses out of business. I'm horrible.
Yeah, okay.
Can Eric Bischoff write a television show? No, he can't.
19.
He thinks he can.
Okay, that makes sense.
He can't.
They were just talking about how she graduated Boston University, which is why she didn't go to the...
Oh, that's right.
I think so. I'm thinking if she's at 21, then... There's no way she finished 4 years of school, starting when she's 18.
Once Vince puts,
but she was actually 22 then, so the timeline does make sense.
If she was 22, but not if her birthday's in September, because that graduation was in
May. No, no, but she in 1998. She would have been 21, when she graduated.
You can look at
but she would have been 17 when she went. September after Labor Day, right?
I suppose, yeah.
So it makes sense. I'm with you. You go to 19, you go to 20, you go to 21.
He just said Bischoff can't write a TV show, but he thinks he can. That's funny. Because I think Russo can't write a TV show, but he thinks he can.
You work for Stephanie now. That's why I wanted them not going there in 2000.
He could.
It was explained to me.
He used all his ideas.
Shame.
In that year and a half or whatever, he used all of his ideas.
It was explained to me by one of
all the ideas he stole from Howard Stern, ECW, and
just so happened.
Whatever, it's still Jerry Springer. But he was able to put it. He was able to put it all together. I'll give him that.
But no, wait. He says that he wrote the entire show, and Vince went. You don't think Vince sat there and went, "Oh, okay, hit me at the bed next week. How about this?" He gets puts cement in the Corvette. Like, you don't think there was ever a point where Vince came up with an angle that was in the show? I think that's bullshit too.
But I think minimally. 50 shows a year, I would say Vince probably came up with you know.
But how many did Austin come up with and come to him? How many did, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, come up. Yeah, sure, all these moments.
Like, all these moments are, to give him the credit for all these moments. For
well, I'm not saying he takes you full credit. Like, well, I didn't take you full credit, but he's, you know, it said, I do agree with him that people have a tendency to either give him all the credit or none of the credit.
Because the fact of the matter is,
he knew what I did.
Linda, the senator of Connecticut.
She's a senator.
She told us she was.
Yeah, she won that election.
Was
twice?
Yeah, twice. That's what she says.
That was his daughter.
Because we told her, we said, you're not the senator of Connecticut. Yeah. And she responded with, fuck you, I am the senator of Connecticut.
Fuck you.
Get my ring.
Sexual chocolate goes on a date with China. Wow. We're in November.
Wow.
You know, it's getting to know the personality of the guys. And Mark Henry.
I was going to say, Mark,
getting to know all about
a big marshmallow. And just the whole idea.
Getting to something you. Getting to hope you. Something me.
China was great in the role. Are you guys laughing all the time?
We're laughing all the time.
You know, can I tell you something? It's so sad to, like, talk about this stuff. And they're like, no, what's going to be on our I'm being serious. It's like,
it's not exactly the first time we've sung on the air.
Why
this is true.
Can't be happening today. I hear Triple H.
I hear
it's a different time. It's a different time. Okay, it's a different time, so you can't make the TV.
No, it's because it's edgy and they're beholden to Wall Street and shareholders who might be very conservative.
Hillary would definitely be Hillary Clinton would really definitely be on this already right now.
It's true.
But shareholders,
you can't risk anyone googling China. So and seeing something and going to their daddy,
something you wouldn't know,
CEO of Wells Fargo, who's maybe going to invest in WWE the next thing. Going, that's the girl that's going to be on the show that we're going to watch. And I'm going, okay, we have to reconsider the investment of 500,000 shares we were going to make tomorrow. That's what it's about. Come on.
Oliver is so much smarter than Russo. Steve Austin is crucified. Here it is.
There's the crucified on the symbol.
Yeah.
Not the cross.
Just how far can we go with
so the, we mentioned Bob Ryder?
The evil,
now that you're a Christian, how do you feel about
what
this?
What have we not seen on the wrestling show? I mean, really, that's what have we not seen? What can be a spectacle? You know, him on that big symbol. I mean, that's a spectacle.
That's what I wanted to say. When you and we saw what was the result, but was there growth from what you pitched up to that? Like, what are you seeing in your vision with Ed when you come up with the idea? Is it what we finally saw?
It is, because we know we can make it as large as possible.
Okay, I'm sure.
So we shoot for the moon, because we know we've got that crew and that staff and that talent behind us that will make it happen.
And Steve is behind it from the first.
Oh, this is pitch.
No.
Tomorrow.
I think he had a little.
Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow
there'll be some.
Because tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're only a day. Take a nap.
What about internal reaction? Anyone in the company?
Well, internal reaction?
But a great song, Adele.
I think if it, like...
a daddy.
It used different... It was a cross.
Sorry,
but it wasn't a cross. You know, Taker had a symbol. It was Taker's symbol. And I know we were careful to really say that, you know, the Undertaker's symbol more than once.
Yeah, yeah. So that made it okay. You didn't offend anybody at all, because otherwise, guitar on a pole, deaf... Oh, that's right.
Guitar on a pole.
Here we go, on a pole.
Here
comes the pole.
Match
here
that
go.
You proposed.
Well, there was the flags in the pole.
It started a long trend.
That was a good one.
It's been covered
a long
troll
of poles. Vince Russo.
What is it about the on the pole match? I know anyone in a box is over right away. I know anyone in a box.
There haven't been a lot of on the pole matches because, listen, I challenge you right now. Name three on the pole matches. Without that one.
Viagra.
Yes.
Boss Man and
Boss Man Nails. Tequila.
Yeah, Boss Man Nails Nightstick.
Well, that was the
Tequila.
Oh, Tequila. I think it was
there was the Shocker or something like that. What do you call them? The cattle prod.
There was all that stupid box. Remember when Booker T found Scott picture of Scott Hall in
There's
a box?
There's so many.
But they're not mine. You people.
They're not mine. Yes, they were. So many of these are yours.
Yes. Judy Bagwell on a forklift. I'll give you the pole with that.
Tequila.
And they remember Pinata on a pole. Those are the things they remember. So that equates to you did 5,000 pole matches. No?
Yes, you did.
Remember three victory.
Yes, you did. Look up pole matches at WWE in wrestling right now.
Talking about it
Line
later,
fuck.
But there were not 100 pole matches.
The fact there were three is too many, you dummy. Wrestling with Shadow premieres.
Shadow. Oh, yeah, Wrestling with Shadow.
Hitman Hart.
On A&E.
Crowbar versus Ming. Chair on a pole.
This was a big...
And that was when he was there. WCW.
WCW.
Pardon me? WCW.
He did paddle on a pole.
Paddle on a pole. There you go.
Divas. Pinata on a pole.
Yeah.
I believe Tank Abbott fought Big Al with a leather jacket on a pole.
Leather jacket on a pole, yep.
Top guys.
Viagra on a pole.
Okay, so it's
Judy Bagwell on a pole.
Tequila on a pole, we already got that.
Tequila on a pole.
I remember something about Tara's tarantula being on a pole.
Yes, there was, as I said, there was that one where the 69ers match or whatever, where it had four poles, they had to get the boxes.
There was the ladder match, which was essentially on a pole.
Is to just bury this under the rug.
They had tons of flag matches, which were basically
pole matches. You know, we're not going to tell publicly tell people what happened.
Flags
if we wanted to look it up more, we could, but trust me, there's a lot of things. So, you fuck. Do you think you heard me?
So I remember I'm sitting in the
you
bed
here?
And
yeah,
I'm listening to all this.
I don't think he's listening, but he heard
it. Cool. Was he?
I think so.
Yeah, so I'm listening to all this.
Oh, see, there you go. He's listening to all this.
There you go.
See, I was right.
He listens to the audience.
Bret Hart just punched Vince McMahon in the face as a shoot, and we're going to sweep this under the rug? Because I'm thinking ratings.
Right.
I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
This is ratings.
The biggest story, perhaps, in the history of wrestling, and we're going to sweep this under the rug. And, you know, I could tell everybody was quiet, like, you know, how dare Russo say that, but I could see Vince, and I could see, like, the wheels starting to turn a little bit. That turned into Vince didn't screw Brett screwed Brett promo, which was a huge part and a huge piece of the idea.
Huge.
Were we all worked by Montreal? No. Possible? I wish you were. I really did. Not many people know this.
Oh, here we go. It was his idea.
When it was going down that day at Vince's house, it was Vince, it was me and Cornette. It was the three of us were there.
Okay. Oh, this is where he came up with the screw job idea in the first place.
Yes.
I'll never forget.
At Vince's house that day.
Yes.
Where they ended up in Montreal.
That day in Montreal.
Brett is supposed to
at Vince's house.
He said, when Brett calls me, I want
fucking
you
lying
to
fuck.
Silently be the third party on the phone to be a witness. So, when Vince had the conversation with Brett, I was...
Because they only had one.
Without Brett.
You know, it's not like they were talking all the way up to
him. I heard with my own two ears Vince pitch every possible scenario to Brett.
That Brett was agreeable to.
Every scenario just to get the belt off Brett. And Brett poo-pooed one after the other after the other. I heard it.
He pooped.
No.
He did. He
pooped. We go back to the table, and I had just come off this conversation.
Did he take
a shit on the toilet? And now it's getting late.
A lying fucker.
So now, like, I was a little pissed off because I heard Vince give Brett at least half a dozen options.
So I remember, I said off the top of my head.
He'd like to go back and work for Vince again, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's telling this lie.
Put him in his own room and have a referee call for the belt.
That's why I came up with that.
Because I was pissed. You know, because I was like, Vince was really
not
trying
No, I came up with this. Oh, wait.
No. So I went back to the table and freaking screw it. So, like, literally right after that, it was late at night, we went home. Okay? I did not see or hear from Vince for, like, the next 2 days, which was not the norm. Mm-hmm. Trust me, not the norm. So, I have no idea what the, and I'm not going to ask him. I mean, it's like, it's none of my business at this point. So I have no idea what the income is going to be. We get to the building that day, he's still avoiding me like the plague. And, you know, there's no, I'm taking care of what I have to take care of for the rest of the show. I'm not even involved in that. Sure enough, I mean, you know, the match comes. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this is taking. I'm literally sitting next to Taker and watching this.
Remember when he took credit for it in WCW?
Yes. Sean put him in the sharp sheet.
And put it in a roll?
Well, my first instinct was like, no way. You know, I mean, really, I was like, no way. And then sure enough, the bell and blah, 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 blah. And But the Vince didn't screw Brett, Brett's true Brett, that was huge for the Attitude.
Huge.
Because that was, I mean, that was real. That was legitimate.
Would Vince
And I also want to say, too, you know, just for the record, the Survivor Series took place on a on Sunday. This is the God honest truth.
Oh,
truth!
Friday,
God honest truth.
I'm home at my house. It's late at night. My phone rings.
It's great.
Pick up the phone. It's Owen Hart. Owen is hysterical, upset, crying, and he basically said to me, he said, Vince, he goes, Brett is threatening to disown me, not talk to me, not have anything to do with me the rest of his life if I go back to the WWE.
Uh-huh.
You need to talk to him.
I see this guy in person, I'm going to punch him in his fucking face.
Yes.
I'm going to do what Cornette wanted to do for that particular fucking super friends of life.
Yes.
The guy who's dead who can't dispute it.
And I'm going to stand behind you videotaping it.
Okay.
So we can put it on the internet.
And it'll go viral and it'll be worth it. I'll go to jail. It'll let me sue me. I don't care. I will for Owen's honor. If I see him, I'm hitting him. I'm not even fucking kidding.
So, like, I couldn't call Vince because if Owen couldn't get a hold of him, I wouldn't have been able to get a hold of him.
Owen, who tried to leave and fucking
said, no, stay.
Stay. They're offering you a lot of money. It's best for your family. Brett did that. Told Owen to stay. He's telling this story. You lying mother.
And
piece of shit.
Brett, man to man, face to face, the first time I went to WCW after Owen had passed away. Okay? So I called Brett and I said to him, I said, Brett, I said, you're not going to agree with this. I said, you're going to hate me for it. You're going to despise me for it. I said, but I have...
There's a lot of reasons to despise you.
Yes.
I would have done the same exact thing Vince did. And I explained to Brett, I said, listen, it had nothing to do with Vince not trusting you. The issue was Medusa had just come off of dropping the world's title in the
And there's
garbage.
A lawsuit pending?
Vince McMahon
yes.
At the time of this?
Trust Eric Bischoff.
Uh-huh.
I said,
and there's no way they would do it again.
No.
Because they were losing so much money on it?
Company and protect everybody.
But Ric Flair showed up on their television with that other title, and that was okay?
I would have done the same exact
thing. That's fine.
And
it's
mean,
not the same.
Brett
oh, wait, it
some
is.
Things like
well,
that
actually,
and
that
like,
it is a little
I
bit different only because,
me.
Like,
but,
Flair
I
legitimately
wish,
did own the belt.
I wish
it's
all that
true.
Like, I mean, it was his to do whatever he wanted to.
He didn't own the belt. He just had a deposit on it.
Man, that
yeah,
was
that's
the,
true.
Sort of.
But he didn't get his deposit back.
No.
Said things to you that he would repeat, like, Kirk curses me?
No, no, like, what he felt like doing. and he was just irrational. I mean, I could understand.
You know what? If I ever get a chance to interview Brett again, but it's possible. Can you take the audio of this?
Yeah.
I'm just going to play it for him and then say, "Fucking respond."
Yeah, please tell me
was
what happened.
Like not knowing the facts when that all went down. One of the first people I saw was Mick Foley, who I was very close to and still am to this day. And Mick looked at me. And he said to me, he said, "Vince, you should be ashamed of yourself." And I mean that, like, that broke my heart.
Why did he think automatically that you were behind it and it wasn't a move that Vince pulled even behind it?
I hate this just because there's so many lies and so many
lies.
Owen plus the Brett not willing to drop the title, whereas he would drop it to anybody. Even Sean, if Sean would do the honors for him first, in Montreal, he would have dropped it the next night.
Yeah. Well, not the next night, because that would have been an Ottawa.
Actually, he said he would drop it the
Terry's
next night.
Terry's
miscarriage.
Still.
Oh, yeah. Who's?
Terry Runnels.
You remember
Marlena.
Terry Runnels?
Tit?
Yeah, she's the
I
thanks to her,
we
got Tit. The Terry Invitational.
In Tit.
Yeah, the Tit in Tit. Terry Invitational Tournament.
Oh, okay.
You know, because from 9 to 11 on Monday night,
you remember Terry's Tit.
Stuff like this happens in television shows all the
fantastic.
Time. It's not real. It's a show.
Money well spent by Dustin.
So I never had an issue with it. I get criticized a lot. This is what people don't understand. I get criticized a lot. People like to say...
criticized a lot.
Well, you like to take credit for all the good stuff.
And you like to lie.
But you don't take responsibility for any of the bad stuff. And what I try to logically explain to these people is, well, first of all, when you talk about I don't take responsibility for the bad stuff, that's subjective. Okay,
but so is the good stuff, then!
But what might be bad to you might not be bad for somebody else. So when you say I don't take responsibility...
If the vast majority say that's bad and the vast majority says that's good, that should be enough, then.
Yes.
You can't do one and not the other.
Obviously, if I didn't think it was a good idea, I wouldn't have done it.
Well, this
so,
is
like,
true.
Even stuff that played
and how
out
many miscarriage angles
didn't
have ended up happening
if I
after?
Didn't
yeah.
There was Lita, that was way after him.
Yeah,
oh, there was the Stacey Keebler
and
fucking WCW,
so course,
that
I'm
was
not
him.
Sit
yes.
Here and say, that was a bad idea, that was a bad idea, that was a bad idea, that was a bad idea. That was a bad idea.
No, she delivered.
Yeah, she delivered, she delivered.
Hand in hand.
But didn't,
he's all grown up.
Didn't,
it's good to see him.
Was there, I can't remember, was there a miscarriage for AJ's,
the Clara Lynch?
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened with that.
I think there might have been.
That might have been an abortion angle.
You know what?
It was an abortion of an angle. But it may have actually been an abortion angle.
At the end of the day, listen, man, I'm a television junkie. I've been watching television my whole life.
See, that explains it. He's a junkie.
That's my advice. And like I said, when you look at what's on from 9 to 11 o'clock at night, this is a storyline that you would have seen played out on, you know, dozens
Jerry
of months ago. So from that perspective, I mean, that, there are things I did that I thought were bad, but that wasn't one of them.
No.
What?
So give us one that was. Okay. Mankind wins titles. That'll put butts in the seats. Last thing
this
of the year.
This is the last thing, yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
He really likes Mankind.
How soon after this happened?
He was a big star of
that.
That
this actually happened. Is that, you can see that in the ratings, obviously, right? You can see a huge shift like that.
In
the
ratings.
Were you aware that it was Siobhan?
Oh.
That helped, that gave you the assist.
Just
but it was, have you ever talked to Tony about this?
I haven't.
Oh, well, I mean, Eric, in his headset, gave him that verbatim.
Right, I mean, it's Tony's voice we
Tony,
hear.
Because Tony was like, I mean, Tony knew when he said it, like, are you serious? But, I remember watching it, because I think we would tape or something.
You would tape, right,
hey,
sure.
That's
because
why
that's
I remember watching it. And I remember watching it and saying, listen, when you tell people don't turn the channel right there, they're going to turn the channel.
Oh, so you knew immediately that this was going to have fire on it.
The minute you tell somebody not to do something, they're going to do it. And then when you end it with probably one of the most beloved wrestlers
don't
in the
retire.
History of the business, finally getting to do, how are you not going to...
Don't jump off a building.
Yes.
Just really...
Don't pick up that handgun.
Yeah.
absolutely. And I think he deserved it. I think that's one of the things that fit, you know, throughout his illustrious career, he'll never forget.
It's true.
And I'm very thankful that we had the opportunity to do it.
Well, I'm very thankful that you sat here for many hours.
88 pages we did, right?
We did 89.
Oh, that's
pages.
Good.
About 98. Looking back, a lot's happened to you
could
with that company we just talked about since then, and other companies. Where do you file 98 in your personal memories of your career?
I mean, you know, like I said, I had never...
It doesn't really have the beard anymore. It's pretty much just a mustache.
Yeah.
Making him look even more like an asshat.
It's
true.
That it happened, and that was the extent of it. Now, due to my podcast...
He's Italian.
You know, watching this stuff.
Good point.
Commenting on it, and you know, watching this stuff compared to, you know, watching wrestling in 2015. I just sit there and I'm like, you know, you just have to be kidding me. I mean, it's.
It's a lot better than your stuff.
Today
no, it's not.
No, that's the scary thing. That's how bad they are now.
Yeah,
like.
And it was
2002 when he was gone was way better than his stuff. But, or maybe not 2002. Well, 2000 though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2000 was great.
You know,
much better.
I realized it will never, ever get better.
Even 2001.
And like I said, man,
yeah.
I can give you. You know what? Maybe even 2002.
The best
maybe
in the history of wrestling.
The beginning, the first half. With Brock and Hogan, and then it's 2002 is really nostalgia piece.
Yeah, I guess we're 2002. I'll say probably is better than stuff.
Absolutely.
Not 2003 though.
And not only
and the late and Katie Vick was the late half part of 2002.
Yeah.
The roster that Jim Ross, you know, put together.
Oh, I got a question.
Was
is
just
Charlotte
unbelievable.
Still, man.
Everybody
yes.
at the top
yeah.
of the game.
Charlie.
There wasn't
Charlie.
A
Charlie.
Link.
Yeah.
But like I said,
she has a chainsaw.
My proud moment is knowing how good these guys and gals were. Somebody had to give them the content every single week. And that's why I said, man, you know, Robin.
2015, they should be able to do better
than
that.
You know,
yeah.
Dustin
but
Hoffman
they don't, because
there's
32
and,
people,
you know,
and it's awful, and it's 3 hours.
You know,
it's, it is unfair to really compare it directly.
So the challenge was, you know,
for just, like, as bad as this, like okay, this isn't as good as wrestling,
level,
but WCW in 2000, under him, was worse even than what we're getting right now.
What I'm saying,
the thing with him is, he's talking about how it's all in the writing.
No difference between
he said Dustin Hoffman can make the graduate, or Dustin Hoffman can make Hook. It's all in the writing. The difference, as you have pointed out, he's not writing, he's just coming up with scenarios.
Yeah.
Hey, let's put Vince and Austin in a, let's make Austin drive a Zamboni. Let's make Vince... And
so
let's put Vince and Austin together in a hospital.
Here,
let's have Foley
like.
Come in.
And then you have somebody really, really talented. Somebody else really talented, and it's going to be good. And that's the difference. And also, his WCW, or sorry, we said his WCW, but also his TNA was usually much worse than this. Than what WWE is right now. WWE right now sucks balls.
Cheeks.
And yet was still better.
But like looking back at a match
cheeks.
That
Duff Cup.
Duff Cup.
Problematic later because you've got
that penis tag team, whatever they were called. The
yes.
Johnson.
The Johnsons. That stuff was worse.
Better.
Johnson and Johnson.
So yeah. They, you should, you, oh fuck, we should show you the clip from this.
Okay.
See if you can find up the Johnsons on your
like
phone.
We'll do it after this.
We'll just do it after this.
Do they do their own hand cream?
Yes.
Okay.
Ass cream.
You gotta see the Johnsons. We're serious. This was a gimmick in WCW.
No, TNA.
Or sorry, TNA. Sorry. Same thing. It was when they were weekly.
People don't understand this.
Weekly
paper. When I started
getting
into television, first of all,
I can't see better.
Well, NXT is better. NXT. He's never. Well,
was in such
a NXT is
come,
as good. NXT is as good as this stuff
was
too.
Financially
yeah, it's just very different.
The red. They were
I hope he never writes again.
I hope he never.
A
I won't say it. But
writer.
What?
Don't keep breathing. or keep breathing. Or like, what are we going to do? Keep breathing. Keep breathing. Keep breathing.
Keep breathing.
Yeah, well, I'm serious. If I see him, like if we're like media again or something like that,
that kind of shows you like the state of desperation. Like, I don't know. This is crazy.
If we're like a WonderCon or something like that, and he's there.
It's like, yeah,
or Rumble. I don't know, someplace. I see him. Serious. He is going down.
Working on the television.
Whoa. I'm hitting him.
And then I'll
sing that to him afterwards. Then I'll say that was for Owen.
15-year drop.
But not for Owen. For you know, not in the same way that Roddy said it.
Yeah.
That was just for your lies in this particular fucking. I literally already hated him.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could come out of this hating him more.
Yes.
And yet here I am. Just full of venom for this fucker.
You've been rocked like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Full of venom. Full of Vic Venom.
Vic Venom?
Vic Venom?
Remember Vic Venom?
WWE
magazine? WWF?
It gives me great joy to say Vince Russo was able
to... He wrote in a WWF magazine.
...took those nuances and made everything better.
You would have said.
Everybody on the roster was at the top. Richie Curtis. It brings me great joy to put other
people... Why is he still talking?
Why can't that build it?
Why can't you shut up?
That's what I'm saying. I can't comprehend in my mind...
what I just did.
You're going to bring on a guy in Eric Bischoff whose goal was to put your company out of business, who challenged you to a shoot fight, by the way, who used Ted Turner's money to buy everybody, you know, from your company. You're going to take your time and resources to put that guy over and use him to discredit the guy that was a big part of giving you the greatest, you know,
Springer
era in wrestling history.
You came up with your jackass.
I
wouldn't call it the greatest era in wrestling history.
That type of an ego. I can't comprehend that type of an ego. I can't understand it because I don't have it.
He doesn't have an ego.
No,
he doesn't.
From that perspective, it does make sense. I do agree with them. They put over Eric, and they use Eric to discredit Russo. Russo's responsible for beating Eric.
That's the same thing. Dusty Rhodes is the guy they put over, not Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper helped their company beat WCW, and Dusty was really the competition the whole time.
Yes,
it's history.
Well, that part, that's Hunter.
You could watch,
but yeah,
that's Hunter.
We're talking about family.
Talking about Arn
Anderson. Terry Funk.
Like, you know, Willie Mays is here.
Mean.
But you know what I'm saying? The people.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's it, though. Is the point being that whatever they want it to be, they can make
it.
As long as that's the story that they think is the best story to tell right now.
It's almost like, it's
a shut up, butcher shop. You cannot beat our meats, but you cannot.
I can't understand.
You can beat our presses.
You cannot beat our meats.
No, a lot of people left.
Do another impression of
I left it and I didn't go back. And I also apologize to Vince.
Seth Rollins here.
And told him face to face, this is why I did it. This is why I explained it to
Watch me pull a moonsault out of my head.
You know, the comment he made about getting me raise my kids, I hit him with it.
That trick never works!
So, like, I would have thought in 2002 that
Bristow
meeting was water under the bridge. I don't know, man. I think they need to worry
about it. You just lost your WWE Championship. Bristow!
Thank you for...
Again for the third time.
Willie Mays and Rustin. No, don't even say no. Cut that. Edit that.
He's gonna run with Corny's gonna run with.
Thank you for watching. Corny won't know that. He don't know who Willie Mays is.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
That's a good.
Wow.
I have a shower now.
All right. Wait. Don't you want to watch the Johnsons first?
Oh, sure.
Just quickly show up the job. We'll leave the Leobardo commentary going. While we show.
Alright.
While we show.
The man they call B.
The Johnsons of TNA.
This is over? Is there.
Yeah, leave.
There's no.
There's no after credits?
No, why would there be?
The timeline, the story of WWE.
Why do they choose that music? I mean, it's pretty much, you know.
It's their music, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's shit.
Well, yeah, but it's probably just, it's just generic music. That...
I suppose.
All right, here we are on the YouTube.
Oh, Rudy and Kenny, adults talking Cosby Show. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Mickey's Christmas Carol full movie. That's the last thing you were looking
at? That was the last thing I was watching, so I would use this YouTube app around Christmas to watch Mickey's Christmas Carol. A classic.
Man, was the whole thing on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised. Disney, you should pull this shit off pretty quick.
You watch He-Man's Christmas special.
I have that on my PVR.
Oh, okay.
So I don't need to look that up.
Yeah, that's no, well, that never goes away. I mean, yeah. You might have kids someday, and...
What?
You know... You gotta teach them that.
TNA the Johnsons.
Okay, here you go.
James Storm and Psychosis.
VS the Johnsons.
Oh, here we are.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, let's press this.
This one looks good. The first TNA weekly pay-per-view.
And Ed Ferrara doing the commentary on this.
That's right. And what was Jerry Jarrett thinking while all this was going on?
TNA, no wonder you're off the air. You tell us stupid crap like this.
But what?
So they're called the Johnsons.
What do you think Jerry Jarrett was thinking? Like when he's like, do you think he fought to keep this from going on the air? And Jeff and Vince Russo were like, no, it's got to go on the air. This is a great idea.
Oh, so look, it's the killer bees.
So they're just like penises.
Yeah, and they're called the Johnsons.
Oh, I get
it. You get.
Justin condoms. I get none of the company.
Not the cup. Your penis is an. You can call it your cock. You can call it your dick, or you can say your Johnson.
And there's clean shaven.
James Starr.
Because this is what. 14 years old. Because they started at the same time as ROH.
Yeah, 14 years ago. Oh, yeah, 2002. They started that like 2 weeks later or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what he looks like? He looks like the guy that managed Kamala.
And what?
You know the guy that...
Wow.
The guy who managed Kamala.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Kimchi.
Got the guns.
Kimchi. He looks like Kimchi.
Yeah, they both look like Kimchi. If Kimchi was dressed or was actually instead of... Like, the mask looks like Kimchi, but the bodysuit looks like penis. It's...
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
It's Kimchi with...
But their suits are the color of the human body. So they can look like...
They're flesh-colored.
Flesh-colored suits, yeah.
I got a shower now.
Okay, don't touch your Johnson in there.
Yeah, don't touch your Johnsons.
You can
listen back to this on WeTalkWrestling.com.
That's right.
I can you by Johnson
No, you leave. You're OUT. Go at it.
And also, we're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. You can listen to this on the iTunes, on the Stitcher. Also in the TuneIn Radio app. So that's going to do it for another live audio commentary. Wow.
Yeah.
In the meantime, and in between...
The question is, are we going to do another one of these for the WC, for some of other Russo's full of shit?
I think we have to
do his 2000, maybe do his booking of the invasion. Just him in general being full of shit. And you know what?
Tell us.
Because I think this was fun.
Oh, yeah. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Fuck off now, folks. Are we off air?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got it.
That last part where we should probably redo that, because you said goodnight, folks, and I said fuck off, folks. And I wouldn't want to be mean or disrespectful to the listeners.
We just watched a shoot.
Fucking long.